If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. What's the atomic weight of mercury?
That brought my mind to a complete halt.
Thank you very much, Rob. Had the Patriot locker room with Coach Bill Belichick. Coach, you haven't had this feeling for a long time. How would you describe it?
I'm not a very good one. I'm a little disappointed.
And I know this is difficult. What do you tell your team after, you know, a perfect season up till this point?
Yeah, well, we're disappointed.
Okay, Coach, thanks very much. All right. Appreciate it. Okay. Thanks for a great season. All right, back to you.
And now, our feature presentation.
That just makes it so much more sweet, doesn't it?
He's the best.
He's also that way pretty much when they win, but that's awesome.
Yeah, it's very
funny. Well, they may as well not win if you're not going to see any change in him.
I think he's the person that I hate. No,
yes.
Come on, let's.
What? What? No.
Well, this song that blows every time.
Chinese New Year. Asian things are gonna happen. I eat doggies. Chinese New Year outside my window. Behind the tree. I wish the Chinese could see that their resolution should be to drive safely. And it's Chinese New Year. Hey, outside my window plane.
Hey. 我和你练习.
Don't trust the yellow man.
见到你很高兴.
Negroes.
早晨好.
Bruce Lee.
希望下.
I'm Asian, bitch. Fortune cookies.
我觉得.
Rice.
今后.
Hey. Chinese New Year. Outside my window. Behind the tree.
It is the today's the first day of the year of the rat, ladies and gentlemen. Chinese calendar, it is year 4706. So as they say, what is it? Gong hai fat choi? Is that how you're saying?
Sure, right? Why not?
Yeah, you sure? I don't know. Who are you asking?
I think I'm year of the rat.
You're the rat.
Oh, are you? You're
year of the rat? It's not a good thing, right? You're the rat?
It doesn't seem good.
As the old joke goes, and I'm still writing pig on my checks. Hey. Anyway, congratulations to DJ Omar Khan for coming up with yet another masterpiece. It seems like it was only a week ago we had the Groundhog Day song, and now we got the Chinese New Year song, so I'm very excited. And
DJ Omar Khan.
And by masterpiece, you mean?
I mean, it's awesome.
Pile of crapola.
You did a fantastic job. Are you kidding me?
You can tell there's some work that went into that.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's all Omar does anymore. He just sits in there coming up with those stupid songs. It sound awful.
How can you say that? Why
and then
you
being
hate?
So excited. You know, the first one from Halloween Spooks, mm-hmm. That
best
one.
Best song ever.
Okay, it's right there that we disagree then. Worst song ever, really.
You're saying the problem is that we're starting from a flawed point, which
yes.
is the song's bad, and then once you copy that song, it gets worse?
Yes.
I agree, though. I think that Omar's songs are, all of them are better than Halloween Spooks. I think every single one is better than the original.
Okay, so at least we're on the same page there.
You don't think so? You don't think Omar has improved on that original?
I think he's taken a masterpiece, and if possible, he shined it up for the 21st century. That's what I think.
Exactly. That's what
I think
Mike
it's,
was saying.
I don't, right? You know how sometimes you just have to try and guess what's going on in other people's minds?
Yeah.
It's not possible to me that anyone likes that. No,
I
it's just,
love it.
It just
I
doesn't.
I love it, too.
I just can't get my head around that. You're all giving me a hard time or something. I can't really make peace with the fact that people like that song. Doesn't make sense.
Hate the Yellow Man, too. I mean, that's part of it.
I don't. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with every single time that song comes on, no matter what it's about.
Gong hai fat chow.
Okay.
Hey. What does
Same
that mean?
Ed, Happy New Year.
Oh, okay.
And to you as well.
You're the rat, huh?
Yeah.
You're the rat, yeah.
Woohoo.
Whole year.
Rats.
Well, it's no weirder than our – I mean, it's just like our zodiac system where we've got – Year of the Ram or whatever it is. I mean, they're all, you know, just random animals that they pick to represent the year. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why the tradition survives, but it does.
I think I've been fired. I'm not sure.
What?
What? What happened?
I came in this morning and my key card no longer works.
Oh, no kidding.
So I was standing outside the gate.
They were supposed to tell you tomorrow.
Yeah.
That was set for Friday.
Yeah, well,
that is how it works normally.
They turned my key card off early.
Oh, the paperwork must have already gone through. We were expecting it would work till the end of the week.
Yeah, so Beer Mug came out to get me, and then I was trying to get in the door, and then my key card didn't work.
Yeah, Beer Mug wasn't supposed to do that.
I sure would have. You just wanted to leave me out there?
Well, I mean, done is done.
I sure would have been good with getting some more sleep had I known. I just wouldn't have come in. That would have been great.
Sure.
Yeah, you'd rather know before you leave the house.
Right, of course.
Get dressed and drive. We should do a phone-in one day on ways that people found out they were fired.
You know,
people
that's
who
good.
Got it in an email, you know, accidentally or overheard it, or somebody came up and said, oh, sorry to hear the news, and they hadn't been told yet. I bet there are lots of stories like that.
Because people don't do it well.
Ever.
They're afraid to do it, and so they just do it in the worst way possible. Yeah.
Tell somebody else to tell them, whatever.
Yeah.
First email coming in about the Chinese New Year spooks. I want to thank Carrick Lister Paul for writing in.
Hey.
Had the subject line, I am offended.
DJ Omar Khan.
Offended that Chinese New Year spooks is not immediately available on the Download Rodeo. I need it for a ringtone. I need to put it on my outgoing message machine. I love it.
That's
Paul Lee.
Hi.
Dog eating bad driver is how he signs his email. So apparently the early reviews are in, and it's another hit.
See, Paul's just playing along, too, because he's a friend of ours.
Yeah.
He's playing along. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want
it.
He
loves it.
He does eat dog, though. That is true. I found
Paul,
that to be true.
Starting tomorrow, when Kevin's no longer on the show, apparently, now that the paperwork's gone through, you'll be hearing it every hour. So come on back, won't you?
You mean I'm holding it back?
Well, I'm just
Seems
saying
like you
we'll
guys play it all the time.
We'll be playing it more when you're gone, though, is
all
what
right.
I'm saying.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 7th of February. Ola. Every day this week, we're giving you tickets to the Grammys. Today, we're going to do it again in the 7 o'clock hour. So today and tomorrow, you got two chances left to win tickets for the Grammys, which are Sunday night.
Makes
That's
sense.
Correct.
So keep listening for that. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. You are going to have to earn them, and it is going to be a quite painful process.
Ooh.
That's all I can tell you.
At least we got an email overnight from one of the young classical musicians who's going to be appearing on stage at the Grammys playing with Foo Fighters. Remember when Dave Grohl told us about that contest when we did the Breakfast with Foos?
Yes.
She's in the group of students that was selected for that. So she'll actually be appearing on the telecast. And her beef is that none of her friends and family can get tickets to the Grammys because it's such a tight ticket. You know, they don't sell it. It's not like they've got a million of them.
Right.
So small venue, and they give them all away to the music industry. So the fact that we're still giving them away on the air here today just tells you how tight it is. You could be performing at the Grammys and not be able to get tickets to the Grammys, yet we're giving them away.
Pretty cool.
She must be mad at us then. She can't get her family, and we're giving them away.
I'm sure she's ticked off.
We are going to take some calls from you about the gayest songs ever.
Oh, yeah.
And we have had some real good arguments in the other office about what makes a gay song versus a bad song versus a lame song.
The definition keeps moving.
Yeah.
Ralph Garman said these words yesterday. It was one of the weirdest sentences I've ever heard. Well, look, the song's got to be gay, but it can't be gay, okay? It's just got to be gay.
Right.
No, it can't be gay.
Yeah.
Right.
That song's gay.
It can be gay, but it can't be gay.
It's a tough category to try and zero in on, but we're going to try and do it.
It is.
Also, we have some highlights of American Idol last night. Apparently, there was another...
More bad?
Bad.
Excellent.
Yeah, this was the best of the rest. These were auditions that had not made the previous 7 shows, and it was the last one. And then they did the big montage of all the auditions and then looked ahead toward Hollywood, which starts next week as they start eliminating people.
And then I'm out.
Yeah.
O-U-T, out. Also on the program today, we are going to start giving away tickets to our next singles party.
How about that?
Which is 1 week from today, next Thursday, the 14th. Yes, I thought we were going to do that on a holiday, but apparently not. We're calling it Kevin and Bean's Love on the Rocks Singles Party. And we're going to give away tickets starting in the 6 o'clock hour this morning. So you got to be a K-Rock fan, you got to be single, and then everybody else at the party will be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll know. You don't have to look around and go, wow, I wonder if that guy has a girlfriend. I wonder if he's married.
Exactly.
Well, you probably should, but they're telling us that they're single. So we'll do that. We got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. You remember the story about Craig Ferguson becoming an American citizen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Took the quiz. Well, we found the quiz that they give, you know, if you want to be an American citizen. And we sent Psycho Mike out on the street with a microphone, and he asked random people.
Oh, boy.
These questions.
These are, I guess the intent is to show that you've studied up on your new country and that you care enough to understand how our government works and what's in the Constitution and some of the important dates and figures of U.S. history, which is so funny that you have to do all that to be a citizen, but – most people who live in this country don't know or care about any of that stuff.
Yeah, true.
Natural-born people.
Yeah.
But I guess it's like you need to know all the rules of the road to get a driver's license, so you bone up for it right ahead of taking your test. But then once you've been driving for a few years, you don't remember
you
all that stuff,
all.
Nor do you need to.
Right. Right. But at least you're driving every day and you're using whatever. I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah, you're never going to use how many stripes on the flag in your life unless you end up on Jeopardy.
Right.
And Bobcat Goldthwait will be here.
Yes.
Our old friend. Love
him. I haven't seen him in a while.
So he will be here in the 7 o'clock hour as well. We'll take
He's Kevin's replacement. I didn't want to make it – I didn't want to bring it up to you this way, Kevin, but you're going to at least get a chance to shake hands with the new guy.
Well, you made a good choice.
It's going to be Bob and Bean starting tomorrow.
We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat Neck.
Ralph, now Kevin's complaining about Willie Nelson's appearance on the Super Bowl pregame show. Shouldn't he just leave today? Why wait till tomorrow?
What are the criteria of people you're allowed to have on television who can play music?
People that don't bore me?
So just
everyone loves Willie Nelson, though.
So just Rage Against the Machine.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Just Katrina and the Waves singing Walking on Sunshine and Rage Against the Machine. The only two acts that can perform anywhere.
Do we need Mamas, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be... Do we need that today?
It's a classic.
And Willie is an American hero and institution. He's...
Blah, blah, blah.
Everybody loves Willie. Who doesn't have a good time watching Willie Nelson sing?
I don't hate him. I'm just bored by.
You just don't want him on television.
I'm not saying it's not like I go, whoa, if I could. No, I don't care either way. But I mean, I do care if he's going to perform. And if you're going to perform at the Super Bowl, I don't know, something current, not something from 1930. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
The Super Bowl is for kids from 8 to 80.
Super Bowl is gay, first of all.
Look, Willie's got a new album out. That's great, like they all are. But I guarantee the Super Bowl people came to it and said, hey, do something that'll be fun for the crowd, a song that everybody knows and likes and can sing along with. And that's what the man went on and did.
Well, there's many a strange impulse out on the plains of West Texas.
I wish you would have sung this.
There's many a young boy who feels things he can't comprehend. A small town don't like it when somebody falls between sexes.
You do racing for the Super Bowl, I think.
A small town don't like it when a cowboy has feelings for men.
See, this is what he should have been saying. Then I would have been interested because it's funny.
Did you complain because it was too gay?
No. Well, cowboy may brag about things that he's done with his women.
All right, I think we understand.
Now we can't get him to stop playing Willie Nelson.
Song based on,
here's my favorite part right here,
of course.
Cowboys.
Sorry.
That was your favorite part right there?
Yeah. 5:50 Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the show, Bisbee. What's going on, Ralph?
You want to play Omar's clip while we're here?
I could,
yeah.
Line that up, dude.
Funny, I was watching a documentary special. I forget what it was on. Maybe I think the Sundance Channel. They had a four-hour documentary on the life and career of Tom Petty.
Yes.
Wow. They should use that at Gitmo.
And
get the guys
it was
to talk.
Fascinating. But I was most interested, and I wanted to bring it in for you to hear about, they had interviewed Dave Grohl talking about Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Sure.
He was saying one of the greatest American rock bands in history.
Oh, I know.
And Dave played drums for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers when they were on Saturday Night Live.
I'm aware
of that. They needed a sub drummer.
Yeah.
It's a terrific documentary. It's in stores on DVD, directed by the great director Peter Bogdanovich, and you'll love it. If you like rock music, you'll love the story of Tom Petty.
Fascinating story about that band. How they came and stayed together over 30 years.
Yeah, no thanks. We say no thanks.
Y'all should just give up.
Why do you
guys... if we give up, they win. Don't you understand?
The terrorists
Kevin
win?
Kevin is a lost cause. The bomb is going to go off. There's nothing we can do.
You guys act like I can't be a fan of Dave Grohl if I'm not also a fan of all the bands
If you're a fan of Dave Grohl and
you appreciate him
as a musician and you can appreciate his taste, then maybe his feeling about a certain music artist might color your own in terms of having a more open mind.
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No.
Open mind and Kevin in the same sentence, by the way.
Yeah.
Rich, as Lisa would say. All right, let's talk about these passes I have for a very special advanced screening of a movie called Jumper.
Oh, Jumper.
Brought to you from the director of The Bourne Identity and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Looks pretty cool. People can just teleport anywhere they want to be. They just have to concentrate. They just show up there. And there's a whole group of other people who aren't too pleased that these people have this power and they're out to bring them down. It opens on February the 14th. However, you get to see it for anybody else. If you're caller number 7 right now at 1-800-520-1067, caller number 7 gets a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Jumper on Tuesday, February the 12th. Looking forward to that. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Well, they told us it was going to be 2 weeks, but Britney Spears has left the UCLA psychiatric ward yesterday. Only what? 1 week after being involuntarily committed.
Well, maybe she's cured. Maybe she's healthy now, Rob.
That's what I'm thinking. They got inside. They just opened up the hood and just got in there and just replaced her carburetor, and now she's good to go.
Was Dr. Phil outside?
F you, you effing bitch.
I don't believe he was. Mm. Apparently, UCLA says, look, she's no longer a danger to herself or to others, so we really can't keep her. And now she's back on the streets.
What I don't understand, Ralph, and I know we're talking to Mr. Levin from TMZ.com in a half hour, but I thought the point of her parents getting this conservatorship, if that's the right word, was to be able to make decisions for her because they felt she was unable to do what's best for herself.
I believe they can make legal decisions involving her life. However, the law states that once someone is no longer a minor, you cannot keep them against their will in a psychiatric facility unless they are deemed to be a danger to themselves or others. So
that's too bad.
She's got rights where it comes to that.
It's a tricky one because if she's on her medication, then she's okay. But as soon as they let her go, she'll probably stop taking it again.
Yep.
We'll be right back where we started.
That's the bitch about bipolar disorder is that you feel good when you're on your meds and you think, oh, well, I'm cured. I don't really need to take these anymore. And sometimes there's side effects to the medication that it makes you feel a little doped up or crappy, and you're like, oh, I don't want to feel like this. I'm gonna go off them.
Yeah.
Next thing you know,
Brittany, why?
Next thing you know, you're playing hockey with the robots. meanwhile, the New York Post says that Rolling Stone magazine, in an upcoming issue, is going to do an in-depth story about the tragic tale of Britney's life. Some of the insider revelations apparently involved in this. Apparently, it's like the quintessential investigative report on what's going on in her life, says that Britney was allowed to get breast implants as a teenager.
Nice melons.
Then later regretted the decision and had them removed.
We always debated what was going on with her.
She did seem to go up and down, didn't she?
Up and down, yeah.
Boobs.
Didn't she deny it, though?
She did.
Deny it the whole time?
According to the Rolling Stone magazine article, Britney told her friends that her father, Jamie, was emotionally abusive to her. And even showed up drunk backstage at one of her live shows. Hmm. Well, you guys having a good time at a concert. Can't really blame him for that.
Hey, yeah. Brittany.
Yeah.
Nice rack.
You're my daughter. I wish you weren't because I actually make love to you.
Brittany was forced by her managers to work up to 20 hours a day when she was a youngster.
Forced by her managers?
Yeah. And the thing that ended her relationship with Justin Timberlake?
Yes.
Britney was banging her choreographer.
Oops.
Justin found out, and that was the end. So, some of the juicy details coming out in the Rolling Stone magazine about Britney's epic story.
They ought to hang on to that for publication a couple more weeks so they can write the last chapter.
How dare you, sir?
Just saying.
How dare you? In a related story, there is an upside to all this madness. E! Online has reported that Kevin Federline has had to cancel his planned reality show in the wake of his ex-wife's very public mental problems, so he will not be doing a reality show.
Damn it.
Wow, I was so looking forward to that high quality.
I wanted to get closer to him. I wanted to get inside his head.
He's so charismatic.
I want to get inside his head and make a walk-in closet out of him. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Federline! Kevin earlier said the Super Bowl was gay.
Yeah.
Not as gay as Leonardo DiCaprio's Sunday was.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, Leo isn't one kind of guy to pound beers or eat buffalo wings watching the Super Bowl. Instead, E! Online is reporting that he and his supermodel girlfriend, Bar Raffaelli, spent the afternoon at the Museum of Contemporary Art on game day.
Lovely.
Hello!
No kidding.
Leo! Oh, yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio just flitted by.
Come on.
Look, you ass.
Come on.
Look, he's with a supermodel.
I don't care.
Yeah, well.
He'll still be there in 3 hours when the game's over,
Super
Lisa.
Super Bowl, yeah, supermodel. Super Bowl.
Do you think he didn't want to watch Tom Brady because he's banging his ex-girlfriend?
No.
Maybe he boycotts all Patriots games, you're suggesting, Mike, because of that?
It's possible.
Maybe. Well, he would see Giselle on the TV a number of times if he had.
Speaking of Giselle, she's a cheater just like her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You know, she made a bet with some friends saying that she would run naked through New York City if the Patriots lost the Super Bowl. That's how sure she was.
Wow.
Tom and her her boyfriend's team was going to win. Now that it's all gone south, she's saying there's no way she's going to do that.
Boo! Yeah. Don't make the bet then.
Cheater. Now her representatives are also claiming, oh, that was just a rumor. That never happened. That bet was never made.
Huh. Yeah. I'm never going to bet with her.
Yeah, because she's a welcher.
Her or Tyra.
Either one.
The other welcher.
Yeah, really. Try to get a buck out of Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
Speaking of the eight-headed wonder, did you see her on Moment of Truth last night on Fox?
No.
No, they're doing celebrities now?
Yeah.
Already? They really are out.
The show has jumped the shark after three episodes. Apparently they sat Tyra Banks into the lie detector seat just for fun and asked her if she was jealous of her boss, Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
She was caught red-handed by the machine, which said that, yes, she was indeed jealous of Oprah's $500 million, her house in Santa Barbara, her condo in Chicago, her girls' school in Africa, and her gorgeous hair, Tyra said.
What?
Tyra has no hair. She only wears wigs.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I bet she looks great in the morning.
Oh.
Bald with a massive forehead, just all bleh. They should have asked her, are you a big fat whore?
She went ahead and said yes.
And said, that answer is true.
I'd be willing to bet they let her know ahead of time what the questions were going to be, so there weren't any bad surprises for her coming on the show.
Some big bogus publicity stunt. Daniel Baldwin. You guys watching The Celebrity Rehab on VH1?
Yes. Can't stop.
It is quintessential train wreck television.
It's an amazing show.
My wife, we sat down last week. It's on Thursday night. It'll be on tonight. You can catch the latest episode on VH1. We sat down last week to watch. My wife's like, this show makes me feel dirty. I can't watch this. Meanwhile, an hour later, hi, honey. could not escape.
You do feel bad. I mean, it's hard to watch, but it's fascinating.
Yeah. I so want to challenge Jeff Conway to a fight.
Like
MMA.
Who
MMA,
sad.
Me
who
and Jeff.
Dude. Lisa could beat him.
I'm just saying. I think that'd be an interesting
undercard.
Of course
undercard. I could beat him.
That's what I'm saying.
A green belt with a brown stripe.
Yeah.
What's you're a green belt with a brown stripe.
Yes,
unless
am.
Jeff Conway was made out of chocolate, then she could beat him. Well,
that's right.
It's just like kryptonite for Lisa. Breaks her hand on a chocolate bar.
Now, Conway, who is the actor from the movie Grease back in the day,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
He will remind you of that.
He is in some sort of full body brace now because he can barely walk. Is that what's going on with him?
No, he's in a wheelchair, which he pushes himself around in with his feet, by the way. I love those people.
Yeah.
They use their legs to get around in a wheelchair. Those are my favorites. He's a mess, but he's not nearly the mess he makes us believe.
That's really? That's what you think?
Oh, he is acting up a storm for the cameras.
Yeah, I believe that.
I think he's fully putting it on, and I just want to pull him out of that wheelchair and say, let's go time, Conway. Come on. Irishman, throw down.
The shortest fight ever.
He'll say, they tied me to railroad tracks.
Does seem to make up stories as needed.
Yeah, do you think?
They tied me to railroad track when I was four, and then they said the axe murderer was coming.
Oh, that's bad, Jeff.
And then a guy came with an axe and pretended to be an axe murderer.
Yeah. Great stuff. Anyway, tonight's episode, you might want to check it out. It's Daniel Baldwin, who left last week.
Yes.
Because he said all the sexuality in the house was not conducive to his rehabilitation.
Right.
Tonight we find out that he was coming on to porn star and fellow rehab life mate Mary Carey, who was living in the house with him.
He's the God warrior, right, Daniel Baldwin?
No, that's Steven. That's the one on
Steven,
Celebrity
okay.
Apprentice. Yeah, he's the God warrior.
Oh, I keep getting my Baldwins on reality shows confused.
It's easy to do. Anyway, you want to check it out tonight, but you find out Daniel Baldwin was taking pictures of his penis and texting them to Mary Carey's cell phone.
No way.
Yeah,
really?
That's a spoiler. I'm sorry, I should have given you a spoiler alert before that, but
at
that's on tonight's
episode.
At one point,
he does turn to her and say, you know, you need to erase those.
Maybe erase those texts I sent you.
And I wasn't sure, like, what it was or anything. Yeah.
But all they were doing...
Well, be thankful this is television and not smell-o-vision.
Word.
There were a couple of girls jumping in the pool in T-shirts with no bras, and that was it, man. He had to go.
He had to go to his room and call his wife and tell her, you know what they're doing here? There's women in wet T-shirts.
And then she started yelling at him.
Yeah. Well, look, you don't call your wife and say, hey, there's women in wet T-shirts. You don't want to be part of it. Just walk out of the room. You don't have to start something with your wife. You know, he's just pushing her buttons.
Sure.
And the cameras are on, so he wants to try to make himself look like a good guy.
Yeah, I don't think spouses need to know everything that goes on in your life down to the minutest details.
No. And look, if she's going to watch the show and see that, she'll see that he walks out of the room and doesn't ogle the girls. Yeah. That's plenty, right? Oh, good for you, honey. You did the right thing.
Right. You know what they're doing? There's girls in T-shirts. Yes. I can't live like this, honey.
Plus, I think Mary Carey saved the pictures of my penis.
I got to go. I got to work up a chubby for my next photo. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, I want to remind everyone, please stay tuned in the next hour and the remaining showbiz beats in the next
three hours. Out of time already.
I will be presenting my three-part interview series with the wife of Falco's drummer.
Wait, we're talking to Falco?
No,
the guy from Rock Me Amadeus?
No, this week, of course, we celebrate the 10th anniversary of his passing. And so in honor of that, I will be interviewing Falco's drummer's wife.
His drummer's wife?
Yes. Elizabeth and I will have a conversation about Falco's life and times, and it'll be fascinating.
Did she know Falco at all, or did she come after he was already dead?
No, it was after, but still. It's a three-part, in-depth investigative series on the life and times of Falco. You're not going to want to miss it, people.
Any way you can edit that down to two parts, or
nope,
maybe one.
It's just too much. Too much information. We talk about his shocking drug and sex addictions.
Okay.
We talk about the paper.
We talk about his life on the road. We talk about, of course, Rock Me Amadeus, his biggest hit. We talk about what he was doing in the Dominican Republic when he passed away, why he was there. It's fascinating stuff.
And this is going to be on your podcast?
No, this will be a three-part series coming up later today. Okay. In an hour, we'll have part one, and then the rest of the series will progress as the day goes on. So please tune in for Falco, Man, Myth, Legend.
Wow, an actual mini-series on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
A three-parter, everybody.
I think you're going to like it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Miguel Ferrer. What a great actor this dude is. I don't know if you're watching The Bionic Woman or not, but he plays her boss on that show, and he's outstanding. He's always been good. 53 years old today. James Spader, another great actor, plays Alan Shore, of course, on Boston Legal. He's 48 years old today. Chris Rock, comedian and actor, is 43. And Ashton Kutcher, from That 70s Show, of course, does all our very funny K-Fed numbers here.
He's very talented.
Very talented. Show as well, so he does good work. He's 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
We were talking a few days ago. Ralph did a story in the Showbiz Beat about Craig Ferguson, the late-night TV show host, who's been trying to become an American citizen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And apparently he took the quiz, and he passed.
Perfect score. He revealed the results to his late-night audience on TV. He opened up the envelope that had come from the government with his confirmation, and he got every single question right. And last time we had Craig on, we complained to him that, you know, maybe an American might have his job if he, you know, wasn't coming to this country trying to take our jobs away. But I guess he solved that because now he's going to be an American, so we can't beef about him anymore.
Now, we located the quiz that you have to take. If you want to become an American citizen, you have to take this quiz as well. We located it.
Okay.
It's got 20 questions. And I'm guessing that I would get 10, right?
I doubt I'd do much better.
I mean, really, you listen to him and you go, yeah, I should know that. Mm. Oh, yeah, I should know that.
Sounds familiar.
I should know that.
A lot of it is like are you smarter than a fifth grader syndrome,
right,
though, where you probably do know it, but you start to second guess yourself because it's just common knowledge.
It's not a particularly hard quiz, but it's information that you never need to access.
Yeah,
so
you never
use
it.
In the recesses of your mind somewhere because, frankly, you haven't really thought much about, you know, the Constitution since eighth grade.
So we were going to give it to me, and then we realized that would be fruitless. I mean, let's be honest. We all know I'd flunk it.
So we were going to give it to Ben, and
your
we realized
fear,
that
if
was
I recall,
fruitless.
The fear was that you were going to have your citizenship taken away if we gave it to you and you didn't do well. So
I think
that you were afraid.
I think if you score below an 8 out of 20, you get transported to another country. So, Psycho Mike, where did you go with the microphones, and who did you talk to?
I went to Venice Beach and to Old Town Pasadena, and I just tried to talk to as many people that walked by me, and I didn't really pay any attention to who they were or, you know, gender, race, color, anything like that. I just grabbed people at random and tried to see how they do.
Now, I've listened to it, and it's fantastic, but I do have to – you had to try to stock the pond. You had to look at people and say, that guy's a bum. He won't know, or – I mean, didn't you? I mean, when you hear these answers, it's just fantastic.
Look, I didn't turn away from the Hesher getting off the bus or the bum.
But
who
did
I
you
thought,
search them out?
No,
no way.
I equally as many people that I thought for sure would do horribly, I talked to just as many people that I thought might do pretty well, that looked educated and well-to-do and stuff like that.
Well, here you go. This is how people on the street take the American citizenship quiz. Enjoy.
What is the introduction to the United States Constitution commonly called?
The introduction to the what?
What is guaranteed by the First Amendment?
Freedom of choice.
The Pilgrims?
Yes. What was their goal?
To invade
the U.S.
Yeah.
Why did the pilgrims come to the U.S.?
To cross the road.
What year was the Declaration of Independence written?
16-something?
Yes, 16-something.
July 4, 1776.
When was the Declaration of Independence written?
1787.
1776.
1787.
How many Supreme Court justices are there?
One, right?
There's just one.
Just one, yeah. Nine.
Who chooses the Supreme Court justices?
I guess a judge.
A judge chooses the judges?
I guess.
Who is the Supreme Court justice in the United States right now?
Dick Cheney.
How many stripes are there on the United States flag?
50.
36.
The United States flag, I believe, has 25.
I think 150.
Two.
It has stripes.
What do the stripes on the U.S. flag mean?
Ooh, the bloodshed and something else. Wait, no, what's the white? Purity?
People who died in the army.
In the army, okay.
The stripes in the United States flag, they mean they represent the colors of America. Red for the flowers that grow, and there's white for all the white people here in America. What's the last color?
Blue.
Blue, right. And the blue is for the clear skies here.
One for each state. The original states.
Who said, give me liberty or give me death?
Who?
Was it A, Bean Baxter, B, O.J. Simpson, C, Oral Hershiser, or D, Uncle Remus?
D.
Give me liberty, give me death. Elton John?
A, Patrick Ewing. B, Patrick Henry. C, Patrick Dempsey.
C?
Patrick Dempsey?
Yes.
It wasn't Martin Luther King, so a white man doesn't even know about not having liberty.
A?
It was Patrick Ewing?
Yeah.
Give me liberty, give me death. Emiliano Zapata? Ozzy Osbourne.
Patrick Henry?
Nice! The first person tonight to get that right. And who wrote the Star Spangled Banner?
Rick James.
Rick James.
Come on. I weep for the future, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. That's excellent work, Psycho Mike. Well done.
Those were all right, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to keep track. They got them all right.
For the most part.
Very proud.
First, though, Harvey Levin, TMZ.com on the line. I almost didn't want to talk to Harvey today because I'm so mad at him, but I guess I'll just have
what?
To get past that.
Why is that?
Yeah, I've had an ass full of this Harvey Levin. Why can't you keep your girlfriend in check? What is wrong with you, Harvey, that you're just letting her willy-nilly just wander all over town instead of being in a hospital someplace where we can keep track of her and know what she's up to?
Well, okay, before we get into why you're pissed off at me.
Mm-hmm. So that's why.
Guess who's a big fan of yours? I ran into a dentist office yesterday.
Big fan of ours.
It's a dentist. John Tesh. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. We've had John Tesh on a lot.
and Connie. I ran into both of them at the dentist office.
How about that?
He's a good dude. But here's the deal. I ran into them, because this will now transition into Brittany nicely. I ran into them like a half a mile from where Brittany was at the Beverly Hills Hotel. So all of the helicopters were circling above, and it actually took the pain away listening to that drill.
Harvey, I got to tell you, it happens pretty regularly where one day we think, hey, we should talk to Harvey about fill in the blank. This time it was Sam Lutfi. And, you know, the paperwork that was showing the kind of guy he was.
Right.
So we said, get Harvey on the phone. And then, invariably, something else happens even bigger, and we got to change topics and do something else.
Okay, you want the lowdown?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I mean, here's the deal. She is, like, a desperately sick woman. I mean, really, really sick. And there is some anger in this whole thing right now that UCLA let her go, just the way Cedars let her go. Because obviously she's a danger. I mean, this woman, you know, she's, you know, this British accent she's speaking in?
Yes,
it's not,
right.
It's not an accent. It's a personality. This is part of a personality disorder. She's got a bipolar disorder. This woman is in danger. And I mean, I'm just going to say it. She's in danger of dying. And everybody in her life, her family, is worried that she's going to get killed. She's going to die. And at least the hospital was a place where at least she would take her medication. I mean, now, how do you give her medication? When she doesn't have it, she's sunk. And, you know, you saw what happened. She went home, she got in her car, and here's the problem. And I'm just kind of like speculating here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that today, Jamie Spears, who is the conservator, may go to court, because it just makes sense to me that he doesn't have the power to control his daughter right now, because the court said, okay, yeah, you can make all of the financial decisions, you can decide who her visitors are going to be, but he doesn't have the power to enforce it. And you saw what happened yesterday in Beverly Hills. So I'm guessing he's going to go in, and he will probably ask that law enforcement be brought in so that he can go, say, to the Beverly Hills police and say, there's a paparazzo in the passenger seat. I want him out. I have a court order. And then the judge may ask the Beverly Hills police to say, you know, to drive up to the car and say, get the hell out of the car. And even go to the Beverly Hills hotel and say, you can't rent a room to her. She can't make a contract. She's incompetent.
Oh.
And that seems the only way that Jamie Spears can control Britney. So I'm guessing that may happen. And I'm also guessing that it might happen. I'm not sure of this one, but I'm guessing that it might happen that Britney might even ask this new lawyer, Adam Streisand, guess what, related to Barbara Streisand,
really?
To go in, and he's a name dropper, going into court, and he may ask that the whole conservatorship be 86.
I know, UCLA and Cedars both let her go sooner than they said they were going to.
Well, no. To be fair to them, that Britney, in this case, there was a 14-day hold, but that just means that the stay was extended so that if the hospital determined she was a danger to herself or others, they could keep her for as long as 14 days.
Oh, I see.
But if they decided that she was no longer a danger, then they could let her go. I'm asking, how is this woman not a danger to herself and others right now?
Have they seen her drive?
Yeah. I mean,
I know,
exactly.
I know. And you know, and not just drive, but I mean, what else is she going to do? She's out of her mind.
Yeah.
And she needs help, and they let her go. And, you know, I'm wondering, could they have fudged it? Could they have, you know, were there psychiatrists there who said, you know, it's a catch-22, because what do? They put her on medication, and suddenly she stabilizes because she's on the medication, and then they say, they'll let her go, so she goes off the medication, and she goes crazy again.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It's like this catch-22.
Is it possible that she has enough moments of clarity that she can tell them what they want to hear to get out, or does she even have that?
You know what? Best question you ever asked. Seriously. It's the best question you ever asked.
Because that's, I mean, you imagine everybody in there is trying to figure out what they want to hear to get out.
It's absolutely true. And what happens with her, she has these moments of lucidity where you think she's rational and she seems to follow what people are saying. It's absolutely true that she goes in and out of this thing. And there are times when you really think you're talking to a rational person. Absolutely.
Mm. Let me ask you this. Now that she's out and the conservatorship apparently didn't have any bearing on that decision made by the hospital, Harvey, what about the other things that the parents were trying to do, like the restraining order to keep this Lutfi guy away from her? Is that still in effect?
The restraining order is still in effect. He can't go near her. This is like, this may be a little too inside baseball, but I'll tell you quickly. Do you know who Michael Sands is?
No.
Michael Sands was the media consultant for K-Daddy's lawyer, Mark Vincent Kaplan.
Right.
They had a huge falling out this week. And, you know, and K-Fed's lawyer was gunning for Sam Lutfi. I mean, they were saying he might have been a terrorist. I mean, they were just going crazy on this guy. So Michael Sands, the media consultant, and Mark Vincent Kaplan have a falling out. So I get a call yesterday. It's Sam Lutfi and Mark Vincent Kaplan on the line together saying, basically, I'm bringing Michael Sands on board to help me in this fight. And Michael Sands is saying, Sam Lutfi is a true patriot. It's a crazy.
What the hell?
Now, Harvey, I know you don't have much time because you're getting ready to do your meeting, but what about the what we've been reading about how he was potentially drugging her, that he was cutting off her cell phones? I mean, is he just some sort of weird control freak? What's his angle? Is it all about money? Does he think he's trying to help her? What's this guy's deal?
The parents are saying that he absolutely drugged her and made her crazy. He is saying that's
right. Hey, we know how to end that word. That's good. Good catch.
Thank you. Wow. I'm getting too comfortable.
You think?
So Lutfi is saying, yeah, I gave her drugs. I gave her the medication that the psychiatrist prescribed because I was the only guy who was her caretaker while the parents were away. So, you know, depending on who you're listening to, you hear these radically different stories.
Okay. I have one more question for you because I've become lately, I've always watched the TV show on and off, but now I'm obsessed with it. How is it you don't get sued for sexual harassment in every single meeting in a workplace of the 21st century when your cameramen step up and go, yeah, I saw Hayek coming out of the restaurant. What huge bazonga she's got.
Hey, hold on. You know the guy with the long blonde hair?
Yeah.
Hey, Max, K-Rock is saying they're amazed you don't get sued for the lewd comments you make.
But wait, Max said he's amazed, too.
But wait a minute. Is it true that she has giant boobs?
Well, yeah.
Yes, it is.
No. But did you see the show last night?
I did, yes.
I mean, my God.
She's lost the baby belly but kept the baby boobs. It's fantastic. But it's just, I know what it's like, and I see the memos we get here, Harvey, at K-Rock, and I see the meetings we have with the attorneys where they say, oh, you got to be careful. You can't say this. You can't say that. I mean, you are just rubbing these females that work for you. You're just rubbing their faces in it every day, all day.
I just cannot control the youngins here. That's my only problem.
What are you going to do?
That's what it is. All right. Well, outstanding work. Of course, TMZ TV is weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11, and of course, TMZ.com. Constantly updated, including live footage yesterday of Britney driving away from the hospital. But you can't get more immediate news coverage than watching it live on TMZ.com. Harvey, you're doing the Lord's work out there, my friend. Thanks for coming on K-Rock.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man.
Now, Kevin and Bean take a moment to celebrate Black History Month.
It ain't natural. Anytime somebody got to slap some grease on your behind to stick in you, there's something wrong with that. Yo, butt ain't made for that.
That's a moment in Black history right there.
Hey, that's good advice, that's by right. The way, right there. That's great advice. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 6:40 Thursday morning. It is here. You've been demanding it, and finally we have answered your prayers. It's Kevin and Bean's latest singles party, Love on the Rocks, Valentine's Day. Hit it, Steve.
Not the Steve.
Love on the Rocks. With Kevin and Bean. One guy is stupid.
Hey.
The other's just mean.
Hey.
If you're down on your luck, then join us and someone new.
Nice.
Valentine's Day is 1 week from tonight, Thursday, February 14th. We are going to be at a place called On the Rocks on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. Of course, it's the private, cool, exclusive club that's above the Roxy on Sunset. This is going to be our first event there. We're very much looking forward to it. DJ Omar Khan is going to be there. No host bar with drink specials. 21 and up. We're looking for girls right now at 1-800-520-1067. And I think the topic on the table, Kevin, if I'm right, is bad breakups, right?
Bad breakups. And we need to decide if it sounds like they got the raw end of the deal. And they're the good one in the relationship, then we let them come to the party.
Okay. Oh, I see.
If the person that broke up with them did the right thing, then we don't let them go to the party. See, what we're not looking for desperation here. We're looking for good people, good personalities. It's not that you're a loser and you can't find anybody. We want a room full of quality single people.
Okay.
Let's start with line 5. I think this is exactly what you're talking about. Jody is in Huntington Beach, 1-800-520-1067, has the potential to be the first person at our party next Thursday night at On the Rocks. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Jody.
So, bad breakups is what we're talking about. It happened to you?
Yes. 5 years ago, my mom was dying of cancer, and my boyfriend and I were about to move in together, and I had to leave because my mom lived in Nashville, and he broke up with me because I was leaving to be with my mom.
What?
Well, you were a downer at that point. I mean, who wants to hang out with a... The chick with dead mom. I mean, come on.
Did he say that, or did he give you some other bogus answer?
Well, the whole thing was that he had a conversation with his mom.
Yeah.
And him and his mom felt it was best that he broke up with me because I was leaving.
Okay.
Because you were going out of town to deal with your family.
Yes.
Wow. How long had you been together?
We were together, it was 5 years ago, so 2003. We met and started dating in 99.
Oh my God. Wow, so a long-term relationship to fall apart like that. Were you just shocked by it?
Yeah, I was kind of dumbfounded when he told me. I couldn't even say anything. And so I was just like, whatever, because my mom came first. So.
Yeah, of course.
It sounds like he was looking for an excuse. Yeah.
But is
that makes no sense.
But is that because Jody was impossible to live with or because he's a bad guy?
No, I doubt that. I think he's just weak.
All right, so I vote yes on Jody.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Jody, listen, we want you to bring another single girl, 21 and up, and join us Thursday night at Valentine's Day, and we'll make you forget all about him, all right?
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Fantastic. See you then. Thanks for the call.
Let's go to Carly, who is calling from Moore Park. Good morning, Carly.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Carly.
Bad breakups. How did it happen?
All right, well, actually, this was a week ago today.
Wow, a little fresh, but go ahead.
A little fresh, yeah. So I was sitting at work, and, you know, we have been together, it would be a year the day after Valentine's Day. So we had been together a year. Everything was great. He ended up moving in downstairs from me, so that was really fun. We spent, you know, all of our time together. Thursday, I was sitting at work, and I got a phone call from him, basically out of the blue, saying that he wasn't ready for a commitment.
So he called you while you were at work to break up with you?
While I was at work, basically right after lunch. And he told me that he just wasn't ready for this commitment, and he needed to be on his own so he could, quote, do his own thing, whatever that means.
Well, what it means is you're going to be running into him in the parking garage of your building, bringing random hoes home. That's what it means.
That's when it gets really pathetic. I couldn't stand being around him, so right now I'm living with my parents.
Oh, good.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Carly.
Wow.
Hey, I just want to, I don't know if this will make you feel any better or not, but I know, guys, why I have a brother just like this who breaks up with every girl that he's dating a week before Valentine's Day. He doesn't want to cut it too close to the holiday because then it's obvious. So he's like a week, week and a half out, he breaks up with him, doesn't have to buy him a present. Then he calls like March 1st and says, I've reconsidered.
I got him for his birthday in October. I got him one of those new iPod Touches.
Nice.
Oh, you're sweet.
Nice. I had engraved on the back, and he gave it back to me because he didn't want to remember the painful memories, and then he called me the next day and asked for it back.
Yes, yes. All right, Carly, listen, we'll let you in if you promise that when he comes back to you after Valentine's Day and says he'd like to get back together again, you promise you'll say no.
I promise. Don't right. you worry about that.
Then I'm in. I'm in. Yes.
Fantastic.
Hold on.
We'll see you Thursday night at On the Rocks, above the Roxy on Sunset. Have a great Valentine's Day with us, the Kevin and Bean Singles Party, 1-800-520-1067. Wow. You know, if you were tuning in from another planet for the first time to learn about humans, you'd think that all guys are dicks based on these calls that are on hold.
Let's go to Crystal, who is calling from Covina. Good morning, Crystal.
Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Crystal.
Bad breakups.
Okay, so pretty much we were living together for 4 years, and it was a week before Christmas, and my cell phone was dead, so I was using his cell phone.
Oh, no.
And a text message popped up from it was a girl's number, name was programmed.
Right.
So, of course, I checked it, and pretty much it was saying, I want us to be together, I don't care if you're with her, I want you, all kinds of nasty stuff. So, pretty much, I got burned.
That was it.
It was right before Christmas, too.
Yeah, right. All right, hang on 1 second, Crystal, because we have a very important distinction we have to make based on very little information and a very short amount of time of knowing you. But we have to decide whether your story is true and you really just needed a cell phone and it was an accident, or if you were actually snooping through all of his stuff and that's how you came across it.
Oh, I really needed a phone.
What do you think, Lisa? You got the women's intuition on this one.
No, I believe her.
I think I'm right on the fence.
I kind of am, too.
I think she was snooping.
That's my fear, and that's not the kind of girl that we want to subject our guy K-Rock listeners to on Thursday night. You know what I'm saying?
What are your measurements?
That is the determining factor, isn't it, Mike?
Because a snooper might be worth it if she's hot.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, sometimes girls snoop because guys are leaving really big clues that something's going on, too.
You know sure. what? I'm the one that Beam grabbed my ass at the singles party, so you guys have to make up for that.
I don't know.
Bean grabbed your ass.
I've never grabbed anyone's ass at a singles party. Not one time. That's a bald-faced lie.
Now what do we do?
Well, I say we cut her loose.
Crystal, I'm sorry. Nice, desperate attempt to drag me down with you, but no thank you.
Anyone else? She could have picked anybody else on the show. She picks Bean.
You know it's not Bean.
Who does not have physical contact, even with his wife.
Right.
So and it's so funny. Had she said Lisa would have thought, well, I might have. I don't know. I should see some Kevin. Yeah, could have happened, you know, but not me. She would.
We need to take a quick break. We'll have Dave the King of Mexico talk to a few people off the air.
Okay.
And let in as many as we can. And then we've got more tickets for you coming up. It's Kevin and Bean's Love on the Rocks singles party. It's on Valentine's night. It's funny when you're talking about a three-part series. I mean, that's funny.
It's not funny.
That's a good joke that you're using there, Ralph.
It's finally... Falco getting his due some 10 years after his death.
Kevin and Bean Show 656.
Of course, with all the hype surrounding the biopic about his life that is coming out this week.
There's no
Just from you, though, right?
I haven't seen that hype anywhere.
Well, it's not coming to the States. It's being released first in, of course, his homeland of Austria and in Europe, and then it's going to be here in the States. So when it comes to the States, we'll talk about it more. But
no.
It just had its red carpet world premiere this week in Vienna.
Okay, now Falco, for listeners who may not know, was a pop music star in the 80s. Very popular with Rock Me Amadeus was probably his best known song. He did Der Kommissar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Vienna Calling, a few other dance songs.
Huge international pop music star. Huge.
Right. And why are you so obsessed with Falco, Ralph?
Because Falco rules.
Ruled.
Well, he's no longer with us, yeah. But he still rules in absentia.
But he's dead.
Yes, so, Kevin, yes. Thanks. Thanks
so
for
let's
that.
Move on to the living.
This is the 10th anniversary of his passing.
Okay. All right. Now, who are we going to be hearing from here, Ralph?
Well, I'm going to do some showbiz news first. I got a couple minutes here, so we're going to talk about some of the bigger stories, and then I'll start my three-part interview series with the wife of Falco's drummer. That I had a chance to sit down with yesterday.
I'm sorry, I thought you said the wife of Falco's drummer.
Listen, I won't be mocked when it comes to this, okay?
And this is from your new interview series called Total Access.
That's right. Before I get to that in-depth, cutting-edge interview, though, I'd like to talk about the fact that Kirsten Dunst, it's been announced, is now in rehab.
Really?
Oh, really?
Is she in ugly rehab?
She checked herself.
Can they fix her face?
Checked herself into rehab after a week of wild parties at the Sundance Film Festival, apparently. She checked into the Cirque Lodge, which of course is the
they put out Cirque du Soleil.
Lindsay.
No.
Oh,
that's where it's the rehab of choice of many of the stars. Lindsay Lohan and Mary-Kate Olsen spent some time there. Wow. She showed up loaded, by the way. There's a way to check in.
That
if
is,
you're going to go down swinging.
Absolutely.
Kirsten Dunst is 25 years old and has been known to be quite the party girl for some time now. So perhaps she'll get the help that she needs. And I'm just hoping they got a good dentist there. Cirque Lodge, that's all I hope to.
Force
that's
it
a
on
good idea.
Maybe get some, look into those luminaires, those laminates they do. Get those popped on.
It's funny because.
The veneers, you know the veneers?
Yeah.
Sure.
Do some work there.
She needs it. She checked herself after she'd already wrecked herself. That's the problem with Kirsten. You've seen her face lately.
You see why I'm interviewing Falco's drummer's wife now?
10 points.
This is an interesting story. Kit. The supercar from Knight Rider has already lost his voice.
Oh, the actor that was going to play him?
Kit was coming back, of course, on the Knight Rider revival on NBC, and Will Arnett was to be the voice of Kit for the new driver of the Knight Rider. However, it turns out that Will has had a long-standing relationship and is under contract with General Motors. He did the voiceovers for all the commercials for the GMC trucks on television. Here's the thing. Kit is a Ford Mustang.
Uh-oh.
So GMC stepped in and said, you know what? We'd rather you not play a Ford.
That seems really
because
stupid.
You're the voice of GM.
Really?
Yes.
Overthink it much?
So he had to pull out.
Huh.
You know, those conflicts of interest happened a lot of time in commercial work, especially. You know, if you're under contract with Burger King, you're the voice of Burger King, you can't go do a McDonald's spot or something like that. So
yeah, I guess.
They're taking it pretty seriously. Yeah, but Ford is all over this show. Their logo's all over. They're helping develop it and stuff, so they're pretty involved. It's not like they just bought a Mustang and slapped some black paint on it and put a moving eye on it.
Right.
By the way, if it's a Mustang, Ralph, they should get you to do
that. That's
the voice
what I'm saying.
The car.
Hello,
that's
Michael.
That's your car, man.
So who's stepping in? No, I wish Hasselhoff was the voice of the kid. That'd be great.
You're making a left-hand turn.
Val Kilmer is the new voice of Kit.
That's huge.
Yeah. Interesting.
Actually worked out better for them. They get the voice of Val Kilmer to be
that's
the
a good idea.
It's kind of sad for Val, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Guy at one time was one of the biggest movie stars in the world.
He only works like once every 10 years, though, doesn't he?
Now he's Kit.
He lives in New Mexico, right? So maybe he can do it from his home.
Yeah.
Still a good actor, too, by the way.
Excellent actor.
He is, yeah.
Did you watch the Lonesome Dove prequel that was on CBS recently?
No.
I didn't see it.
Steve Zahn?
Uh-uh.
He was in that, and he was terrific in that. Still, his performance as Doc Holliday in Tombstone, one of my favorite performances ever. It's just outstanding.
It was great.
All right, it's time for my in-depth interview.
At least I'm going to McDonald's. You want anything?
I'm doing three-part interview series with Elizabeth Lang, who, of course, as you all know, is the wife of Falco's drummer, Thomas Lang.
How did this come about?
Elizabeth and her husband, Thomas Lang, who is a very... By the way, you should see this guy's body work. He's played with everybody. He's a hugely successful drummer and producer in his own right, but they live in Los Angeles now.
Oh, okay.
But he's too big to have come on the phone himself?
Thomas is a native of Vienna, Austria, and he lives in Los Angeles now, and his wife, Elizabeth, listens to our show, and so she called in and said, you know, I heard you talking about the movie, and I heard you talking about Falco's passing, and I thought you might like to know some details about what was going on.
And you said yes?
I said, absolutely. Let's chat. Now, her husband, Thomas, couldn't be on the phone with us because he is currently in Austria because they had the big red carpet premiere of the Falco biopic this
week.
Got
it.
So he is attending there, and they're also reuniting the Falco band.
Without Falco.
Right, but they're going to have all the other Austrian pop idols sing his songs in concert to celebrate the 10th anniversary of his passing.
This is the one week in the last 10 years that Tom was booked, and that's the week we wanted to talk to him.
So I got on the phone with Elizabeth, and in this first part of the interview, once again, it is a three-part series, We talk about the fact that Falco died in the Dominican Republic. And a lot of people don't know why he was down there, what was going on. But thanks to Thomas's close relationship with Hans, as he's known, because that was his real name.
Sure.
We found out why he was in the Dominican Republic, what that was all about.
So your husband was Falco's drummer.
Correct.
How long did he work with him?
He worked for him a long time. He co-wrote a bunch of his songs. And as a matter of fact, the title of the movie is one of the songs that he wrote, Falco.
Which is We're Still Alive, Damn It, right?
Yep.
And in German, that's Dampf für Leben Nacht or something?
Yeah, Dampf für Leben Nacht.
Yeah. I understand that your husband was a pallbearer at Falco's funeral as well?
He was a pallbearer in Falco's funeral. Falco died down in the Dominican Republic, and he was a really super cool, generous guy by all accounts. And he was actually planning a huge, a birthday was impending, I think maybe his 40th. They all were on their way down to the Dominican Republic. He was flying all his friends down there for a huge, huge, huge party. And he died before they got there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. And
not very nice.
My husband was one of the pallbearers in Vienna.
There you go. Now you know. Falco's flying all his friends down for a big birthday party in the Dominican Republic. That's why he passed away there.
And now, 60 minutes of your life you'll never get back.
Okay, that's... And you'll know that the last phone call Falco ever made on his cell phone was to Thomas Lang.
His drummer.
Yes.
Whose wife you
by
were
the
talking
time,
to.
By the time he got there, by the time Thomas got to the Dominican Republic, Falco had already passed.
This is great research for the book you're writing on Falco, by the way, Ralph.
In the second part of my series, in an hour, we'll talk about the movie. Thomas has had a look at the movie, and he told his wife what he thought about it. She'll tell us. And then, of course, the last part, around 9 o'clock, we'll talk about the sex and drugs, the excesses of Falco's life, which is quite interesting.
This is a groundbreaking series that you're doing here, Ralph.
Thank you. I'm glad you finally...
It's really just hearsay.
I'm glad you finally appreciate it.
Why don't you just pipe down?
I didn't think she was alive when this happened, but...
All right. Pipe down. Before I go into celebrity birthdays, I've got tickets to give away to the special K-Rock screening of Jumper. You get to see it before anybody else. A new movie with Hayden Christensen and Rachel Bilson, of course. If you'd like to go, it is February the 12th at the Man Chinese 6 there at the beautiful Hollywood and Highland Complex. You get to see the movie before it comes out on the 14th. Caller number 5 right now, 1-800-520-1067.
Yes. Wow.
I like to change it up.
Sure.
Sometimes it's just too easy to do the whole phone number at once. I like to give the first part twice.
That's my excuse, too.
Yeah. Call now. Caller number 5. Get a pair of tickets to our advanced K-Rock screening. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ashton Kutcher, who played, of course, Kelso on That 70s Show for many years. He's 30 years old today. Chris Rock turns 43. James Spader from Boston Legal turns 48. And Miguel Ferrer, one of the best voices in the world. He's got one of those baritones.
He's God, the voice of God.
He is 53 years old today. Make sure you stick around for part two of my in-depth series on Falco in an hour. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of the Grammys, Bobcat Goldthwait in the studio here at the world-famous K-Rock. Bob, you ever been nominated for a Grammy in your long and illustrious comedy career?
Well, you know, any comedian that puts out a record gets nominated. No. I really thought I was in, you know. I thought, come on, PDQ Bach and Weird Al, you know, I thought I'd be there. Nope, the old Bob Scratch Gold Farm got snubbed by the...
snubbed again.
Snubbed by the Grammys. I went to the Oscars, though, once.
Did you really?
Really?
Yeah, how, yeah. I was
for the movie where the guy had sex with the dog?
It was a woman.
Oh, a woman?
Apparently, I didn't see.
I'm sorry.
Sleeping Dogs Lie.
I did see it, but it's been a while.
You did see it. Well, why did you think a guy?
We all watched it, Bob. We all saw it.
I can't even remember what animal it was.
Wow.
It's been a while. I'm sorry.
Cheese and crackers.
I'm sorry.
No, I owe you an apology. I'm sorry. Kevin actually thinks I am a cop.
Yeah.
I saw that movie when you were in the cop.
You did the funny voices in the police academy, right?
I was the Aga Aga. I actually was in Florida and a fight broke out. I've made that joke before, but a guy thought he was seeing the black guy who makes the funny noises.
That's crazy. Oh, really?
They were arguing. Yeah. I thought it was going to be. They really, it was almost fisticuffs.
Wait, he showed up to see your act thinking he was going to get Winslow.
Yeah, because his
That's
buddy,
awesome.
They had a, I don't know, he's like, the guy makes noises. And I think he's like, yeah, he goes, he makes a noise. So, yeah. But during the show, I hear this conversation going on and on.
While you're doing stand-up.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, you're bored. I know how these jokes end. You know, well, stop with the yakety yak. So
now, we got off on a tangent, but you were going to tell us that you went to the Academy Awards. And I assume you were, weren't you your boyfriend Robin Williams date
I was
year,
with
right?
Robin. He called me up, and I had third row seats.
Nice.
And I'm sitting there, and all the celebrities are super miserable. They're all, like, crabby.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, I was like a make-a-wish kid, you know. It's like, Bobby Goldthwait has one dream, and that's to go to the Academy. Academy Awards. I was like, ah! And I knew if I kept smiling, I would, because of my experience on the Jimmy Kimmel Show,
sure,
I knew they'd need shots of people clapping and laughing. So I kept smiling. I couldn't even hear. I just was smiling and laughing. And then at one point, I hear another laugh. And I look over, and it's Oprah, and we make eye contact.
And you and Oprah.
Me and Oprah. Oh, that's surreal.
She's like going, ha, 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 and I'm going, oh, yeah, you go, girl. So weird.
Now, Bob, you must have loved that because I know what a twisted sense of comedy you have and enjoy. You must have loved that because you know that not only the people at home who see you on TV, but the stars in the audience have got to be scratching their heads going, what the hell is Goldthwait doing here, right?
I think a lot of people are confused because I had a beret kind of thing on, and the paparazzi. Rotsy kept yelling, Joey Pants! They really did. Joey Pants!
Did you mingle at the parties and stuff like that? Did you find yourself in a bizarro world where you're having a conversation with Daniel Day-Lewis or something?
Well, I had to go to the can and I'm walking and you know, during the commercial you dart and there's I can feel this woman behind me and she runs her finger down my back and I'm like, I don't know who you are evading my space, and she's going, keep walking. She's using me as a shield. And I turn around and I go, oh, it's Nicole Kidman.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Like she just grabbed this portly little guy and used me.
She had no idea who you were. She was just using you as a blocker.
Yeah. 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 Well, she was. And then, I got stuck trying to get back in the thing. And there was Elvis Costello. And once again, I was an idiot around him. The week before I had met him, and I was totally the Chris Farley show. Like, remember when you wrote Allison? You know, that was cool. Yeah. So I didn't do that, right? And so I'm waiting to get back in. And Renee Zellweger runs up to him and goes, oh, Elvis Costello, I have all your records. He goes, you do? And I'm like, oh, BS, that works? And I'm stuck with Phil Collins. And I'm like, oh, hey, how you doing? And me and Phil Collins like, hey, whatever, you know, hey, Susu Studio.
What the hell was up with Susu Studio?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he was a nice enough guy. He's like, he goes, what? Well, like everybody that night, you know, what do you do for a living?
Oh, that's sad.
My best was Pierce Bronson. He goes, what do you do for a living? I go, I'm a comedian. I play bars. And he goes, I'm an actor. I play Bond.
Nice.
Whoa. I was like, wow, that was cool.
He so wins.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we should mention that I'm playing the Brea Improv.
Well, I'm going to get to that right now. Thursday, that's tonight through Sunday, that's the 10th. Brea Improv, 120 South Brea Boulevard in downtown Brea. You can call 714-482-0700 or improv.com. Bob is hilarious on stage. You will really have a good time at the show. And by the way, before we break, Bob, you mentioned you're a Sleeping Dogs Die movie, Sleeping Dogs Lie movie.
Yeah.
Isn't that on TV?
Sleeping Dogs Die works. It was on Sundance Channel, yeah, recently for the first time.
Oh, it was just on. It was just on.
It was just on a couple times. Yeah.
So that was a good movie.
Well, thank you. Thanks. I'm trying to scramble around and make another movie like that. I don't think people understand. Like, when I make a movie, it makes hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, that's true.
And I know Hollywood listens to your show. I'm just saying, listen up. Do you want a piece of this?
You want your 5% of $100?
It's just people are just, you know, they go, it's the guy from Police Academy. No. And it's a bestiality movie. Whatever. They're just whipping the checkbooks out, throwing cash.
Bobcat Goldthwait is here. We'll take a quick break and come right back. Bobcat Goldthwait. Back in the day, he used to open for that band. He used to come out and do comedy for Nirvana.
And you know what? They were there to laugh. Sometimes they would boo Nirvana off because they enjoyed my performance.
They needed more of you.
Okay, maybe I'm reinventing
history. We want more of Bobcat!
I think I'm reinventing history. But
hey, you lasted longer than they did, man. You do get the last laugh.
Oh, for God's
sake. Bobcat Goldthwait is... Yes.
In that vein, how about the... And this is right up your alley, Bean. The fact that Weird Al... 20 years later, kicking Michael Jackson's ass on the album sales.
That's absolutely
smart
true.
Money would not have went with Weird Al. That's just what
you're right. If you had bad in one hand and fat in the other, you would have gone with bad back then. You're right
about
that.
And that's the kind of observations you can see at the Brea Improv. It's really, you know, I miss doing stand-up, so it's really great to come out and meet the fans and connect with an audience again. And
you told us you hated that.
Yeah, I do. It's terrible.
You told us you hope to never have to go back on the road and do stand-up again,
Bob. It's the alimony tour. I'm telling you, though, my jokes are just as fresh. Like, you know... I actually had an opening act the other day go to me, dude, did you do a Monica Lewinsky bit? I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, whatever, you know.
That's an interesting choice.
I think all you need to concentrate on, are you ready to laugh, Richmond? That's your line. A little less judging and a little less warming them up for the old gold farm. So,
is
hey, what is it with this Jeffrey Dahmer, right? This guy's nuts, people. Who's got a Furby? You got a Furby? You like the Furbies?
Furby.
They creep me out. You found it. I never lost it. Wow, that's really old.
I don't even know. I don't even get
maybe
that
those
one.
Bumper stickers. It was some S thing. I found it.
No.
Wow.
No,
I think you got to cut that one.
Right, yeah.
Let me get out the goddamn plug, Bob. I'm
wait a
trying
minute,
real
wait
hard
a
here.
Bean, you act like he cuts stuff that people don't get. You act like that's a process.
Well, that's true. That's true. That you lose the whole act if you start cutting stuff people don't get.
Yeah,
let me tell people where the comedy is going to be starting tonight through Sunday at the Brea Improv in downtown Brea. It's a great room. Go to improv.com or call 714-482-0700 for Bobcat Goldthwait. And, Bob, you do a lot of
I like
stuff
to call
that
it Bobcat Goldthwait Tribute.
Tribute.
That's really what
you're
it
like
is.
A tribute band.
You're like Gallagher's brother out there doing the act. Is that what you're
Bobcat too. I was just telling that Elisa May. I had to go back and listen to me. So I'm driving around.
You what?
Because I said, did you? It must be hard to fashion a brand new act when you haven't been doing it for so long. You
right.
Got to start from scratch. You said. No, you don't.
No, you know. I just
do the old.
I took my old CDs and started driving
but I just,
around.
I was so afraid I was going to get busted, like at a stoplight. You know, and people look over. Wow. Kill me.
What a tool. Sad. He's so full of himself. He's got to listen in the car.
like a hip hop artist, I have Bobcat painted on the side trying to sell my CDs and DVDs.
Hey, do you still have the sweet Cadillac?
No, I lost that car. I may get another vehicle like that. I had that car for a long time.
When you would see Bob cruise, he's rolling deep down Hollywood Boulevard in the sweet Cadillac. What was it? It was pink or something.
Cutlass.
It had fur.
It was red. It was 1970 Cutlass. I had that convertible. I had it for like 9 years.
It was awesome. And you'd be wearing the cowboy hat. You'd be totally like going up and down.
Leopard skin seat covers. My daughter would be like, Dad, your car is like we're in a parade and the parade turned. And I don't know if you're driving it. What are you looking at? Oh, me, yeah. One time I was at a 7-Eleven. I look over and here's my doppelganger getting out of a Saab. And he's like this same age and he's all sweaty and he's in a suit and his tie's loose. And I'm smoking a cigar, cowboy hat, the leopard skin seat. And he goes, how much, man? I go, for what? He says, the car, the hat, the cigar, the whole thing.
He wanted it all.
Yeah, and I go, it's not for sale, man. Yeah, I know. It was really weird. There, for the grace of God, go on.
That's right. Yeah. You guys, your lives diverged one day a long, long time ago, and there's no going back.
Maybe you're his brother. Maybe you didn't know that.
Yeah, we
you
could
know?
Be.
Long lost.
I have a. I got a tattoo the other night. That's.
What? Where is
that's
it?
That's a joke.
I,
you're making a joke.
No, I don't. I got a Chinese symbol.
Do you know what it says?
This is so bad.
He knows what they told him it says.
It's a Chinese. Now, Lisa May and I have a long relationship with me showing her my
ass.
Yes,
we do.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Okay,
yeah,
is that where you got it?
Well, of course.
All right, let's see.
All right,
it.
Let me see.
Bobcat's right. Pulling down
no,
his pants.
No, I'm not going to let one fly. I'm a gentleman.
All right.
I'm a gentleman as he lowers his trousers.
Giant ass. What is that? It looks
it's
like
not a Chinese symbol unless you got to go lower.
It's a stick figure guy.
It's a timpan. Is that what you call it? Like a.
It's a symbol.
What is it?
It's a symbol.
It's a symbol that you drum on.
It's a symbol.
Oh,
with
a
buck
symbol.
Teeth.
I thought you meant the other
it's
kind of symbol.
It's got little buck teeth and a Fu Manchu mustache and slanty
what
eyes.
The hell?
It's a Chinese symbol.
It's big too.
I've become Carrot Top. I'm running out of
ladies man. And gentlemen. It's a Chinese symbol.
It's a Chinese symbol.
It took forever to get
those
that.
Of you that go.
That's unpleasant. You had to stare at my ass that long.
Really
those of you
did.
That are going to Bobcat's show this tonight and this weekend, please ask to see that because it's pretty. It's pretty spectacular.
That. Will you show that on stage, Bob?
Sure. If I run out of material,
yeah. So definitely yes.
Once the Furby chunk dies, yeah, I'll go right into it.
Show us your ass needs to be the chant. They need to shout it out tonight when you're on stage.
Absolutely. Well, look, here's the beautiful thing about going to see our friend Bob Scratch tonight is that he now hates stand-up and doesn't want to be there. So it's going to be high-quality, hilarious entertainment.
We all hate our jobs, right?
At some point,
so,
sure.
Yeah, so it doesn't mean I don't try for the people.
Right. You'll deliver. You'll still deliver. Oh, you're still a professional.
Do. I go, it's, you know, I'll give them all the agas I got left.
Why don't you just sit on stage and play your CD?
Yeah. See how long.
Hey, this is a good part. Listen. Shh, quiet.
And then show me.
That guy was funny. All right. Go to the Brea Improv tonight through Sunday. In fact, go every night from between now and Sunday,
oh, yeah,
I say.
Because you know what? I'm really going to switch it up.
And I know you are. I know you are. You can call 714-482-0700. Go to improv.com. Bob, you're one of our all-time favorite guests. You know we always love having you on the
Kennedy Show. Oh, thanks,
man. Thanks. I'm glad you stopped by. And for the rest of you, Omoroki is coming up next. Your chance to win tickets to actually – you haven't been to the Grammys yet, Bob. That's one you haven't been to yet, right?
I'm going the other room and call.
You might have a shot to win some tickets.
If you want to go to the Grammys, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1066. We've got tickets for you to go to the Grammys in the 7 o'clock hour every day this week.
Pretty cool.
That's a pretty sweet deal. We were talking earlier about how nobody buys these tickets. They are not available for sale. And there are people who are in the friends and family of people performing on the Grammys this year who can't even get in. So that's what a hot ticket it is. But if you want to play, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067 to be a contestant on Omoroki.
Omoroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
And let's begin with Dave in City of Industry. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, yeah, this is Dave Dog, and I'm calling from City of Industry.
Bobcat?
No, it's Dave Dog. I'm calling Dave from...
Your last name is Dog?
Bob, you were just in the studio telling us that you wanted to win tickets to the Grammys because you'd never been. You can't just go into the other room. You're a guest
on
the show.
No, it's Dave Dog. I know the song already. It's Hot Child in the City by Nick Fielder.
We haven't done a song yet.
Oh.
All right. Listen up, Dave.
Is it the streak?
It's not. I can't tell you. You have to wait and see. All right, here's the way the game is played, Dave, and everybody else that's on hold. Omar, who, as you know, works behind the scenes here at the Kevin DeBede Show, is going to be singing songs that are nominated for Grammys this year, many of which you'll see actually on the telecast if you're there in person on Sunday night. So I'm going to tell you what the category is, and then you have to identify what song he is singing by title and artist.
And
Dave, you are contestant number one.
No, Dave can't be contestant number one. He can't.
It's Bobcat.
It's Bobcat in the other room.
Wait, let me guess one more. Is it Mr. Jaws?
Yes,
not
it
Mr.
is.
Mr. Jaws by Dickie Goodman.
Congratulations.
Right. No, it's me. All right. Right.
Oh, and if it is you, then we have to let you go, Bob. All I'm sorry. Right. Can't
right.
You fooled
right.
me.
I know. Wow.
Dave Dog.
Dave Dog. That was close. Hey, by the way, here's a hint. They're not all K-Rock songs. Normally, we keep it to K-Rock songs, but for this, it's anything that's nominated for a Grammy, so you're going to have to go outside of that box a little bit.
Wow.
But if you've got a radio, you've heard every single one of these songs. We're not throwing you any curveballs. Andy in Norwalk, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
All right, you're the real contestant number one. Listen up. The first song that Omar is going to be attempting to sing for you is one of the nominees for one of the biggest categories at the Grammys this Sunday, Record of the Year. We need title and artist for Record of the Year. Here it is.
I'd rather be at home with Ray. I ain't got 70 days, 'cause there's nothing you can teach me that I can't learn from Mr. Okay. Hathaway.
Have you heard that song?
I believe that's enough.
Have you heard this song?
Yeah, that was direct, identical.
You sound like a deaf guy trying to sing a song that's being described to him in Braille.
Andy?
Yeah.
Good luck. Record of the year.
Yikes.
Song title and artist. Yeah, if you don't
know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry.
I'd rather be at home with
Amy Winehouse. Is what that's supposed to be?
Amy Winehouse.
Really? Yeah, it sounds just like that.
Rehab.
That's that one.
Dude.
Look at that. You don't need to go to the Grammys because you just heard me sing it.
Let's try Blake in Redlands. Good morning, Blake.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Blake.
Good luck with Omoroki. Apparently, he's on fire today. This one is in the category of best rock performance by a duo or group with vocals. Listen up. Best rock performance by a duo or group with vocals. Here's Omar.
Well, Americans, what? Nothing better to do. Why don't you kick yourself out? You're an immigrant, too. Who's using who? What should we do? You can't be a pimp and a prostitute, too.
The White Stripes?
And the song title?
Oh, crap.
Oh, you're so
close.
Come
on.
Title and artist. Think of big, big White Stripes hits that might be nominated for Grammys this year.
Yeah, I know the song. I just don't know the name of it.
Yeah, that's part of the game. Yes.
I'm sorry. We were looking for Icky Thump. Here's what we're looking for. Right now. What? Nothing better to do? Why
don't you kick yourself out? You're an immigrant. Yep. There you go.
That one was in the ballpark. It wasn't good by any stretch of the imagination, but at least it was closer than the Amy Winehouse one was.
Hey, I'm singing into a raw microphone. Jack White has all this chorus and reverb effects. Come on, give me that stuff. I sound just like that.
Alex and Rosemead, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, it's going poorly. Hey. We're 0 for 2 now. We're looking for people to get Grammy tickets. We're doing Omaroki, and again, the clue is it's not all K-Rock music. Could be any version, any form.
All right, this one is this is an unusual category. It's only been in the Grammys for a few years now, but one of the nominees for Best Long-Form Music Video is what Omar is going to be singing here. Best Long-Form Music Video, listen up.
The pastor came in. He was on the phone talking to a man. What's wrong with being on the phone talking to a man? Well, it all depends on what you're saying to that man. Now, to make a long story short, he says, Rufus, I miss you. And I couldn't believe my ears when he said, Chuck, I miss you too.
Even the caller is trying to get you quit. That should tell you something.
That was horrible. It's R. Kelly, Trapped in the Closet. The pastor came with
him. He was on the phone talking to a man.
Wow, that was perfect.
Come on with that.
That was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
All right, hold on. So Alex is in the drawing, right? And we may still get other contestants down there with him. But the way Omar's going today, Alex may be the only one who gets close.
All right, let's go to Tiffany in Los Angeles. Good morning, Tiffany.
Morning.
Did you know any of the ones so far?
I've known two of them.
Okay. Oh, good.
Oh, okay. Well, you're an outstanding. Omar sure loves Omar, doesn't he?
He sure does.
All right. This might be tough for you, too, Tiff. Listen up. Omar is going to be doing one of the five nominees at the Grammys this weekend for Best Rap Song. Best Rap Song. Here we go.
Soulja Boy, Office Ho, watch me lean in, watch me rock. Superman that ho, then watch me crank that RoboCop. Super fresh, now watch me jocking on them haters, man. When I do that, Soulja Boy, I lean to the left, crank that ass, now you!
Okay.
My range. It's amazing, right?
It is, yeah. Tiffany, we need a guess. Title and artist.
I think I should concede right now.
No, sorry.
That was so sad.
By the way, title of the artist and the song are in the lyrics that you just read.
That's true. Yeah. Soulja Boy, been here. Oh, why me lean that? Why me rock? Superman that. Oh, yeah. Why me? Yeah, pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. That's Crank That by Soulja Boy. I think we just have time for one more. We're playing Omaroki to see who gets tickets for the Grammys. You can't buy them. You can win them every morning in the 7 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And our next contestant is Jeff in San Gabriel. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right, listen up. This one I hope you'll get. It's a good category. Best Hard Rock Performance. Oh, nominated for Grammy for Sunday. Best Hard Rock Performance. Here's Omar.
Who are you to wave your finger? You must have been out your head. I hold deep, muddy waters. You practically raise the dead.
I don't know what song it is.
What?
Well, I have no clue.
Oh, really? I thought that was easy.
That was way easy.
That's big K-Rock song called The Pot by Tool.
Who are you to wave your finger? You must have been out your head.
That was
what the heck?
Something like
right?
it, at least.
Well, it sounds to me, Lisa, like the drawing's going to be kind of easy this hour.
Yeah, I think our winner's Alex from Rosemead.
Let's draw between Alex from Rosemead and Alex from Rosemead.
It's Alex from Rosemead.
Congratulations, you're going to the Grammys.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Sorry about that whole Omar thing.
Right, we apologize to all of our listeners, in fact.
Omaroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Been brought to my attention there may be some listeners left after Omaroki, so we're going to take care of them with this edition of the Ralph Showbiz Beat at 7:55.
How dare you?
I'm just saying, anyone who's left now will definitely be gone by 8 o'clock.
I'll have you know, a lot of people are writing in and saying how much they're enjoying my three-part series with the wife of Falco's drummer.
Are they calling the business office, too?
I have an email right here, actually. It says, Ralph, regarding the Falco's drummer's wife series, I love it, but aren't you afraid this might open the door for Bean's third cousin of the best friend of grandchild of someone who died on the Edmund Fitzgerald in-depth series?
Good point.
Oh, that's a great idea. Thank you for
that
idea.
I'm just saying, Paul. Good point. That's from listener Paul, so thank you, Paul.
That is a real fear.
That is, but I have to tell the story. I can't be held back by my fear of what Bean might do, because if that was the case, I wouldn't say anything. So I have to sally forth.
Well, you're an investigative journalist. I mean, did Mike Wallace walk away from investigating big tobacco just because it was dangerous or unpopular to do so?
You.
No, he stuck with it.
Thank you. Yes. Those of you who've seen the movie The Insider, you know I'm just like that.
Yeah. Sure.
So let's get to a couple showbiz stories before we get to my second part of my three-part series of my interview with Falco's drummer's wife. First and foremost, though, let me give away some passes to the advanced K-Rock screening of a little movie called Jumper.
Orale, Jumper.
Or as in Sweden, they call it Jumper. It is Tuesday, February the 12th at Man's Chinese Theater 6 in Hollywood and Highland. It is the advanced K-Rock screening. You get to see the movie before anybody else does. The movie comes out on the 14th, but I've got a pair of passes now to our advanced screening of Jumper starring Hayden Christensen and Rachel Bilson. It is caller number 7 this time, 1-800-520-1067. Guest to see the advanced screening of Jumper. I'm really looking forward to this movie. I love that sci-fi stuff. You know me.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Big sci-fi fan, and this looks good. Although Hayden Christensen in sci-fi
a little scary
has
for
let
you.
Me down in the past. Yeah. But yeah. I think in this particular case, it's going to be pretty good. So.
Remember Ryan Seacrest on the red carpet at the Super Bowl with Samuel L. Jackson? If you could jump to
jump
any other sport other than the Super Bowl,
what, the championship game would you like to go to?
What would it be?
Yeah. Pretty awful. You know, forget the death pool. We got to start a DUI or it's not a DUI, but a rehab pool.
Oh, good.
That's where we got to start.
We do have DUI already.
We got that already. But the rehab pool, that would be the place to go because every day you get somebody new. Already we had Eva Mendez this week.
Right.
She went to Cirque Lodge in Utah up there in the mountains. And it turns out that Kirsten Dunst is going to be joining her there. Just announced Kirsten has checked herself in to get some help, apparently for an alcohol problem that she has. Source tells Star Magazine she desperately needed help. She seemed intoxicated checking in. She was really erratic, extremely emotional, and constantly breaking down. Where does she just caught that scene where Tobey Maguire was dancing as Spider-Man again?
Emo Spider-Man?
That was the last step. Kirsten is a renowned party girl. She's 25 years old. She is known by tabloids as Kirsten Drunkst.
Oh, good.
Really? Mm.
So
I never knew this.
That may show you got a problem when they have a drunk nickname for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's going to be in Cirque Lodge for a while until she gets the help she needs.
She'll live forever, though, thanks to Bring It On. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Live forever in our memories. Britney Spears has left UCLA. She was in the psychiatric ward there for what was supposed to be an extended two-week stay. However, 1 week after being involuntarily committed, she has left. No word yet on what her plans are, but I'm guessing it involves NyQuil and Cheetos. Meanwhile, Rolling Stone magazine is going to do a story about the soap opera that is Britney's life. It really is getting ridiculous how day-to-day there's a new development, much like a soap opera.
And a huge new development every day.
Some of the insider's revelations in the Rolling Stone magazine article are supposed to be the fact that Britney was allowed to get breast implants as a teenager, then later regretted the decision and had them removed. Well, that was the beginning of the end right there, I think. That was her downfall. Apparently, Britney has told her friends that her father, Jamie, was emotionally abusive towards her as a young girl and even showed up drunk backstage at one of her shows. Listen, anyone who can sit through a Britney Spears concert sober, more power to him. I can't really blame him for that. Apparently, she was forced by managers to work up to 20 hours a day when she was young. This will be revealed in the article as well. And the reason she broke up with Justin Timberlake, turns out Justin broke up with her, once again, according to the Rolling Stone article, because Britney was cheating on him with her choreographer.
She does like the dancers.
She does like the dancers.
They kind of said as much. For a while, the rumor was out there that he caught her cheating, and so he left.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been a real tug of war, Ralph. We had Harvey Levin on from TMZ.com earlier, and he was talking about how Britney's parents and others close to her really believe she's in danger of killing herself, not intentionally, but just by her aberrant behavior.
Right.
Yet it wasn't enough of a significant risk for the doctors to declare that, medically speaking, she was a danger to herself or others and were able to keep her in the hospital. So they had to let her go yesterday.
That's a bad situation to be in, I think, when you're those doctors, because unless there's some sort of obvious imminent danger.
Yeah.
You have to err on the side of the patient's rights, and you can't keep them locked up, you know, without their consent. So it's tough. TMZ.com also reports that Delta Burke has checked herself into a psychiatric hospital. Remember Delta Burke from Designing Women?
Yeah.
Fast.
Big, fat,
fat.
Pretty, but fat.
She did a thing on Boston Legal for a while.
That's right. She was on that as well. She works from time to time. She is the wife.
That girl's fat.
Yes, she is the wife of Gerald McRaney from Jericho,
mm-hmm.
who's on that show now.
Is it a fat rehab?
No, it's not. She's checking herself into a psychiatric hospital to deal with just a menu of mental health issues.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
None of which include her eating habits.
Oh.
It's for depression, which can make you fat
sure.
if you're depressed. Obsessive compulsive disorder. Mm. And my favorite, one of our favorite topics here on the Kevin and Bean Show, hoarding.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Apparently she's a hoarder. That's hoarder, not whore.
Not whore.
Right.
People keep what?
Everything.
Newspaper, every magazine,
yes.
everything.
She has a problem acquiring possessions. She said she's afraid that eventually she would end up dead and someone would come into her house and they would find just newspapers piled up to the ceiling and everything else because she cannot let anything go. She's a hoarder.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
So they're going to try to fix her hoarding.
I may have not been paying full attention when she was being interviewed on one of the shows last night, but I think, Ralph, she said that she had 28 storage facilities around Southern California that were packed with stuff that she had bought.
I heard that as well.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's hoarding. That's serious hoarding right there.
What's her public storage bill like a month, I wonder?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's crazy.
Well, that's why she's in a psych ward, I guess, because that's crazy. All right, let's get to the second part of my three-part series of my interview with the wife of Falco's drummer. Of course, Falco couldn't be any hotter than he is right now.
Well, he's been dead 10 years.
Right, this is the 10th anniversary of his passing. It was yesterday, 10
Ralph's
years ago.
Ralph's obsessed with this for some reason.
That he died in the Dominican Republic in a car accident. And, of course, this week also marks the debut of the new Falco biopic, the story of his life. It's been made into a motion picture.
That we can't see for years.
Well, it's being released in Europe right now, but I'm sure it'll come to the States very, very soon.
Nope.
And I had a chance to talk to Elizabeth Lang, who is the wife of Thomas Lang, who, of course, was Falco's drummer for many years.
Of course.
You say, of course, like we know that.
Well, of course. Thomas performed drums on all of Falco's hits, including Rock Me Amadeus, Vienna Calling.
He's not available, the drummer?
He's in Vienna for the world premiere.
They don't have phones?
Well, they do, but okay. I had Elizabeth on the phone yesterday.
His wife, okay.
And he told her what he thought of the movie.
Okay.
And she told me.
Well, this is...
And now you're going to tell us?
And I'm going to tell you with the second part of my three-part interview with Elizabeth Lang, the wife of Falco's drummer Thomas Lang, what the word is, what the buzz is on the movie.
He's been in Vienna with the original Falco band. They're all getting back together because, of course, Falco's the biggest export pretty much Austria ever had. Sorry. Governor Schwarzenegger, but
right.
for all intents and purposes, and because he was Viennese, but yeah, they're back there. They're doing the movie premiere, which was yesterday, and tonight they play a big show, and then they have guest stars who are sort of the pop idols of Austria and other folks who are singing the song.
Has your husband seen the film yet?
Yeah, he saw it yesterday.
Did you talk to him about it? What does he think?
Yeah. He was blown away. He said, it's really good. And he said, I said, well, is there somebody who plays you? And he says, yep, I met the guy who plays me. And, yeah, he was really impressed.
There you go.
Wow.
A positive review from a man who was actually a pallbearer at Falco's funeral and was the last phone call that Falco made was to Thomas Lang.
If you just tuned in late, you're talking to the director of the new U2 3D movie that's currently in theaters, Ralph?
No, sir. I'm talking to the wife of Falco's drummer.
About a movie in Austria that we're not going to be able to see for years, if ever.
We may see it sooner than years.
And the wife of the drummer said it was good.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Ralph could be a producer on this film. He could raise some money to bring that movie to America and have it show here.
Don't think I haven't looked into the production company who made the film. Apparently it's some Europe-based German or Austrian production company. But
That wraps up that feature for good.
No, an hour from now, I'll bring you the final part in my interview series with the wife of Falco's drummer, where we talk about the excesses in Falco's life. Now it gets juicy. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll in Falco's life in about an hour from now. So make sure you come back, won't you?
This is like Ralph Garman's Behind the Music. I'm in now.
Today's celebrity birthday is Miguel Ferrer, one of our favorite actors with one of the greatest voices ever. He is 53 years old today. James Spader from Boston Legal turns 48. Chris Rock turns 43 years old today, and Ashton Kutcher, very talented young man who brought us not only That 70s Show, but Beauty and the Geek.
Sure.
Oh,
that was from the mind of Ashton Kutcher.
The daring mind.
That's right. He brought us Punked, and of course he does all our Kevin Federlezzi bits.
Correct.
Very funny songs.
Very funny guy.
Happy birthday, Ashton. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now, though, we got to pick up a conversation. This has been happening to us a lot lately, where we've had a conversation in the office that has gotten heated, and we've kind of had to decide to go to the audience to maybe settle it for us because we can't come to any kind of a consensus amongst us.
Well, we were talking about, I guess it was Rick Astley's birthday, and he had that super gay song, Never Gonna Give You Up. Here's a little taste of that.
It's funny that's... because I, of course, still have that song on my iPod. I still love that song.
Of course.
And the guys were, that is the gayest song ever when we were talking about it. And then we started saying, or is it? Because that's a category of songs that is pretty huge of songs. And we're not talking about, if I understand correctly, we're not talking about songs that are made by gay people for gay people that are intentionally gay. We're not talking about I'm Too Sexy, for instance, by Right Said Fred. That song's gay because it's meant to be gay. That's not a song that somebody went into a studio intending to make a non-gay song, and then it got on the radio and everybody realized it was gay, right?
We're looking for unintentional gayness. Now, it's also not necessarily bad. It's not gay. Gay is gay.
It's just gay.
So there are some songs that are bad and not gay. Some songs are gay and not bad.
Right.
So you got to figure out, like, what category they go in. You remember 40-Year-Old Virgin?
You know, I know you're gay. You just told me you're not sleeping with women anymore.
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are.
You know how I know you're gay?
How?
You like Coldplay.
So now, Coldplay, if you want to argue that some Coldplay songs are gay, you can, I suppose, but you can never argue that they're bad. They're all good songs.
Know why you're gay? Because you like Asia.
Okay, that we can all agree on. Let's be honest. Any Asia song, bad. It was the heat of the moment. Telling me what my heart meant. Yeah.
So it's bad and gay is what you're saying for
correct.
Asia. Okay, so that's what we need your help with. We are trying to decide what is actually the gayest song of all time. That's what we hope to have a conclusion for in about 15 minutes or so after we've taken your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Now, what about a guy who is gay but wasn't gay at the time that they came out with Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go? Wham! Oh. What about that? Sorry, wrong one.
I don't think that that counts as a gay song. I don't think the intent of that song was to be gay.
I agree.
It was just supposed to be poppy and happy, and I don't think it had anything to do with George Michael's proclivities at that point. I think they were shooting for something else. It just happened to turn out gay.
Then that's way gay. I mean, if it was not, it's unintentionally gay, that's a gay, gay song.
Let's hear a little of the Wham now. I don't want to miss it when you hit that high. Wake me up before you go, go.
Come on.
And it's almost got a little of the, a little of that going on. I think that is a very strong candidate. I think we've already bumped Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up. Yeah. I think Wham would have to, at this point, be the reigning champ of the gayest song of all time, I understand.
The dreaded double gay clap. That's what it is. We'll take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. Is there any song that could top Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go? Seriously. Give us a call now and we'll talk to you.
Right now, the phone lines and the email is just exploding with suggestions for gay songs. And I think we need to, before we go to the calls here at 1-800-520-1067, I think we need to qualify. For instance, Dick writes in from L.A., More Than Words by Extreme, one of the gayest songs of all time. Yes, I think we agree, right?
Yeah,
that definitely qualifies.
Yeah.
But then right after that, Phil says, what about Macho Man by Village People? Now, he's missing the point because that's a gay song intentionally. That's gay people writing gay music for gay people.
Right, which is not acceptable. I mean, that's the same thing with NSYNC, for example. All their songs, really. But that doesn't count in this category. It has to be a song that's supposed to be heterosexual, but is unintentionally way gay.
And
no novelty songs either, by the way.
Right. George Harrison, Got My Mind Set on You. Great choice for a gay song. Billy Ocean, Get Out of My Life, Get Into My Car. Super gay song. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good suggestion. But we're looking for the gayest song of all time at 1-800-520-1067. Who's got our first nomination here?
I do. Simple as something that nobody knows. Her
eyes are as big as above Billy toes.
Come on.
How are you coming at Jack Johnson?
It's gay.
I love Jack Johnson. No one's more heterosexual than Jack Johnson. I wish I was him. Bubbly Toes gay.
Yeah,
Bubbly Toes is a little bit gay. It's kind of hard to argue. It's not Flake, that's for sure.
Let's go to Donna in Los Angeles. Good morning, Donna.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Donna.
What the hell?
Sorry.
I think you're the gayest song of all time, Donna.
All right, we're looking for a gay song.
At my daughter's school, True by Spandau Ballet.
Oh, sure. This is the sound of my soul. This is the sound.
Great suggestion.
Yeah.
You know, the 80s were particularly gay, I think, is what we're learning. And I think David from L.A. has another one to offer. Dave, good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Morning.
Hi there.
Hi.
Vogue by Madonna.
I'm going to give that the gay music intentionally pass, I think.
I don't think that qualifies. I think Madonna...
She was making it for gays.
It was based on a dance. When you make a song based around a dance, that's...
It's intentionally gay. What about this song?
Oops.
What about this song?
May have been cool back in the big hair days, but now that synth just kills it. It just consigns it to the gay pile.
I think really the 80s was the decade of gay.
The heyday of gay.
Yeah. So if you were not born in the 80s yet, you're lucky. You missed a whole decade of bad. Jason in La Puente, good morning.
Morning.
Hello. Okay.
Yes, Jason's go ahead, Jason.
Duran Duran, like a wolf.
Duran Duran, hungry like a wolf.
Like a wolf. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, I'd say.
I think that's on the fence. It's nowhere near. It doesn't nearly qualify to be the gayest song of all time, which is actually what we're looking for. I mean, you got to be at least as gay as Never Gonna Give You Up or Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go to get any kind of serious consideration to take the crown.
All right, let's see here. Let's go to Carrie in Long Beach. Good morning, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi, Carrie.
So I don't know the exact name of the song, but I think Wang Chung sings it.
Wang Chung?
You know, everybody Wang Chung tonight.
I think that's it. Isn't that the
everybody
name of it?
Everybody Wang Chung.
Everybody have fun tonight. Right,
oh, right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now tell me that's not a gay song.
Yeah, it's gay.
It is.
Yeah. Got to give you gay on that one.
I'm with you on
that. No regrets. That's my motto. That and... Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Right, exactly.
What about... Keep rolling, 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 rolling. 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 Trying hard to not be gay.
Limp Bizkit, a band that in its time, by the way, was out there, you know, opening stadium shows for Metallica. But when you hear it today, gay.
All right, let's go to Randy in Cyprus. Good morning, Randy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you doing? Good, hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Randy.
What about Sugar Ray's Fly?
Now, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Fly was their gay hit. I think it was Every Morning. Every morning there's a halo hanging from
the corner of my girlfriend's four-post bed. Yeah, there's that one, too.
Fly was on the
either
fence. That one pushes it over.
Yeah, I think so. Fly's the setup punch. The other one's a roundhouse. Knocked out.
All right. Let's talk to Courtney in Playa Vista, because she is talking about a guy who really has got a few songs that could be considered for this.
Courtney, good morning.
Hi.
Hi there.
I think, come on, the gayest song, it's Footloose. And you remember Bean's oh-so-clever introduction?
No. No, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Oh! Yeah. 95, BGC, I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
Oh, I'd like to suggest that song is not nearly as gay as that announcer. That's my suggestion.
Courtney, the song Footloose, you're right. And Psycho Mike brought up in the meeting yesterday while we're talking about Kenny Loggins, Danger Zone. Although it was at the time super macho in the Top Gun movie, hear it now, it really doesn't hold up. It sounds pretty gay.
What about a song that we used to play on K-Rock here sounded a little something like this? The Stank, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's try Anthony in L.A. He's on line 7. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock, looking for the gayest song of all time. Anthony, what's your nomination here?
I got Jungle Fever Gay.
Jungle Fever Gay?
Ebony and Ivory by Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder.
Wow. See, now, that you have to determine, is it just a horrible song, or is it also gay?
Yeah.
Because it's bad.
Those two seem to be loving each other quite a bit.
Yeah. I think it nudges its way into gay.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's near at the top, but it's a great suggestion. By the way, I want to thank Mario for writing in to suggest Maneater by Hall & Oates, which I think probably runs in this category.
Sure.
While we're talking about it.
Post-Beatles McCartney might be the most prolific gay songwriter of all time. Like, after the Beatles, he was just cranking them out.
Yeah, you're
gay
right.
Songs.
That's true. Yeah. Let's go to John in Whittier. Good morning, John.
Hello.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Good. What song?
I think it was Crazy Town, Beautiful.
Beautiful?
Or
Butterfly.
Song, baby, come, come.
Yeah, yeah. Come, my lady, come, come, my lady. You're my butterfly, sugar, baby.
Come my lady, you're my pretty baby. I'll make your legs shake to make me go crazy. Come my lady, come.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
That's pretty gay.
Absolutely. By the way, no, I'm surprised. We've been talking for 5 minutes here. No one has called up with any number of songs by Good Charlotte while we're on the topic.
Yeah, good point. Which one do we have? We have a Good Charlotte one here, don't we?
Oh, Girls and Boys.
Oh, yeah. Girls and Boys. Yeah, that one is that one deserves its own award, I think.
Girls don't like boys, girls like cars and money. Boys will laugh at girls when they're not funny.
Yeah. Come on.
I think so.
That's honorable mention on its own.
Absolutely, you're right. Let's take Rick in North Hills looking for the gayest song of all time. Good morning, Rick.
I'd have to say Dance Dance by Fall Out Boy.
Dude, you that was a hole in one, my friend.
I got to tell you, Dance Dance might not just wake me up before you go go.
I think he's right. I think he's onto something. I think that could be the winner.
You have given us the king of gay.
100 million percent yes.
Yes, I think I agree.
Now, Kevin and Bean take a moment to celebrate Black History Month.
Does my butt look big?
That's a moment in Black history right there.
People demand it.
Sure. And there are people out there in this country who are voting for Barack Obama because she says to. That woman right there that you just heard of the Black History Month. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. 840 more tickets for the Kevin and Bean Singles Party coming up after 9. Right now, Ralph Garman is joining us in the studio talking about last night's American Idol. Good morning, Ralph.
Why don't we elect our president the way we do our American Idol?
Just have him go through the judges?
Bring up all the people who want to be president, and we can see all the lunatics, and then we just pick the best people out. Put them on television for 8 weeks.
Right.
Boom. President. Lights out. That's it. You get like a 10-week window, and that's it.
Sure save a lot of money.
Sure would.
Not a bad idea.
And no campaign commercials, no stump speeches, no debates. Only get to see what we see on television.
You want Paula Abdul picking a president?
Absolutely. You're the one who was put to vote for comedy.
I'm in.
Last night was the final show where they had the worst of the contestants who were trying out for American Idol.
Yeah.
Over, I think it was like 200,000 people auditioned this year.
Wow.
They have to whittle it down to 120 or so to send on to Hollywood. So last night was the rest of the worst that they had to offer. And here's the thing. Since American Idol has opened up and Chris Daughtry had such a breakthrough in his career via that,
right.
They're getting a lot more rock people coming and auditioning.
Oh, I see.
And the only worse than a bad pop singer is a really bad rock singer.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be like Luke and you're a hard rocking guy and you're going to come in and audition for American Idol, maybe you don't want to pick the George Michael song Faith as your audition song. They don't necessarily coincide, the two of them, especially when you're as bad as Luke is.
When that love comes down without devotion, well, it takes a strong man, baby, but I'm showing you that door. I've got to have faith.
Wow. He probably only knows it as the Limp Bizkit song. Doesn't even recognize it.
Yeah, he should do a little research.
Wow.
Yeah. Victor was next up, and you know they're getting towards the end of the audition process when even Randy and Paula start to turn mean to contestants. Mm-hmm. That's when I know they're like tired and they've been on the road for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Randy is great in this critique of this guy who he's got a very unique sound.
Oh, yeah. The very first time you'll be my friend. If I say that I can be your one and only.
It's almost kind of like a sheep or...
Like an animal.
Yeah.
I sound like a sheep. Charles came out, and Charles doesn't get the show at all, doesn't understand.
What doesn't he understand?
I don't think he's ever seen the show because he comes in auditions, and I'm not familiar with this song, but it is loaded with F-bombs. And just starts just carpet bombing the audition room with F-bombs when he comes in.
That's what it's known for, American Idol.
Randy, Simon rather, explains to him that's just he's not going to be on the show.
The only problem is your rhetoric. You're more in danger than before you took power. You don't give a as long as idiots are in your corner, you could set us on a fire.
Yes, when we decide to put this show out at 3 a.m, you can come and enter.
Can't drop F-bombs on Fox at 8 o'clock at night. It's just not going to happen. Then there was Tiffany, my favorite from last night, by far.
Oh, good.
Tiffany is the reason that atheists exist, because Tiffany told us that God had given her her voice.
Oh, no.
Her voice was a gift from God. And not only that, but she the suggestion that she audition for American Idol came from an interesting source.
I've been singing ever since church choir, and actually, the Holy Spirit would just tell me to go ahead and audition.
The Holy Spirit told her that she needs to audition for American Idol.
Really?
God apparently has some free time in his hands, and now he's deciding who should audition for American Idol.
Really?
Now, before she goes in, she prays and contacts the Holy Spirit to help her get her instrument prepared for the audition.
Okay.
So she has made her prayer. She's contacted God, and now he is channeling through her while she warms up.
Wow, God can't sing.
Now she's warm.
God's got a bad voice.
So Tiffany goes in to audition, and she announces to the room that her voice is a gift from God. And to celebrate, she will be singing a song called Hallelujah.
Magnify his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Does he have a returns policy?
Oh, Simon, that's wrong.
I'm sorry, if I was given that, I'd give it back.
Simon thinks she should return the voice to God.
I think God had his fingers in his ears when that
was
going on.
Bad gift. Wow. Hope she kept the receipt.
Oh, wow. So now it's not fun anymore. Now
it gets good. Now we start whittling away in Hollywood. We get to pare it down to the top 12. And
couldn't
then we find who's going to be our next American Idol.
Wow, this is going to suck.
We were talking about this yesterday, Ralph, and Tiffany's a great example of somebody who somehow her whole life has been told that she's a good singer. I mean, she was full of confidence, wasn't she?
It's the difference between thinking you're a good singer and thinking God has touched you on the forehead and given
right.
you a gift.
Yeah, true.
And that's your
true.
Gift.
Yeah, she crazy.
She crazy.
Thank you, Ralph.
Ralph Kramer's here with our final showbiz beat of the day and movie tickets to give away. And you got a special part of your continuing series.
I do.
So much going on in the next 5 minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
I do. I like to consider myself a show within the show. I'm just here doing my own stuff, and you guys are talking about gay songs.
Well, we're not doing anything as good as talking to the wife of the drummer of Falco.
You got that right. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
The listeners refer to the Ralph Showbiz beat as the good part of The Kevin and Bean
yes,
Show. That's
do.
What's getting back to me.
You know why? Because I bribe them
with
movie passes. I've got tickets to give away to the advanced K-Rock screening of Jumper. You get to see it on Tuesday, February the 12th. The movie doesn't come out until the 14th. Get to see it before anybody else. You can go to jumperthemovie.com if you'd like to check out the trailer. It is starring Hayden Christensen, Rachel Bilson, Samuel L. Jackson, about a dude who can go anywhere he wants just by concentrating. He teleports himself. How cool is that? If you'd like to attend, let me give away two pairs of passes here. Callers number 7 and 8. At 1-800-520-1067. Caller 7 and 8 at that number. If you get through, you win a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Jumper. Couple big showbiz stories. Actress Kirsten Dunst has checked herself into rehab.
Ugly.
She checked herself into the Cirque Lodge, which, of course, was made famous by Lindsay Lohan and Mary-Kate Olsen. That's where they did their rehab stints. Eva Mendes is currently there. She just checked herself in.
I'd like to
All
check
the
in.
All the kids are going there.
Yeah.
Apparently, Kirsten did some damage at the Sundance Film Festival. She was partying so hard, she decided she needed to check in and dry out. The word is she showed up loaded, which is always a good way to check into rehab.
Sure.
By the way.
That's what I do. I mean, you know, it's just like eating everything you can before your diet starts. Why not?
A listener Gil, emailed me and said that there's a bar near Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
She must live in Silver Lake or someplace around there because she's in there constantly, and he's seen her have to be carried out of that bar at least more than once.
No.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So could be she has a bit of a drink.
She'd need to take down her mirrors, and then she'd be fine.
Yeah.
She wouldn't need to
drink. Is that why she's drinking so much? She
caught
her teeth.
Lodge. Do they have a plastic surgeon and a dentist on staff?
God, we can only hope. Brittany's out.
What?
She left the UCLA psychiatric ward 1 week ahead of schedule. She's only been in there for a week. They said she would stay as long as 14 days. But apparently, a private security detail showed up and coordinated a secret exit. She got out under the radar, which for her to do anything under the radar is pretty spectacular. But shows it can be done.
Hmm.
So but, no word yet on what the plans are.
She had 1 minute of anonymity, 1 minute where people didn't know what she did, but she instantly went to all the places she goes and had paparazzi in the car with her and did everything she could to be as conspicuous as possible for the rest of the day.
That is the truth.
And she was surrounded, and she had her window down. And they kept shouting questions at her, and she acted like she was annoyed, but she never put her window up. She's not good.
The White Stripes are being sued. A former Canadian radio host says her voice was used on one of their early albums without her permission. Dominique Payette claims 10 seconds of her speaking in French is heard at the beginning of Jumble Jumble.
Okay.
Which was on the White Stripes album released in 2000. Dominique says she wants $70,000 in damages and the CD to be removed from all stores in Canada.
What are the damages of her voice being on that song?
Come on, Bean. You know that White Stripes music. You know, everyone hates them. How damaging that is to her street cred.
Sure.
What an idiot. She wants $70,000 and the CD to be removed from all the stores in Canada.
I would consider that a compliment if I'm a DJ and my voice ends up on a White Stripes album.
Sounds reasonable.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
That's what she wishes. Your wish is granted. It's just that easy. And congratulations to Val Kilmer. He's got a new gig. He is the voice of Kit, the spectacular car in the new Knight Rider series on NBC.
What happened to the other voice of Kit?
Our buddy Will Arnett was supposed to do Kit, but it turns out that he does the voiceover for all the GMC truck commercials.
Ah.
So General Motors stepped in and said, Kit is a Ford Mustang. You work for us. We don't want you to work for Ford. So he
had
to back out.
Odd mixture of things, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, he's in the new Will Ferrell movie, Semi-Pro.
Is he?
Yes. He plays the announcer, I think, of the ABA basketball
team. Did you see that?
I see it tonight.
Son of a bitch, you keep telling us that.
But I will also be on the red carpet of the world premiere when that movie debuts. So I will ask Will about that, how
Fantastic.
He feels about being ex-kitted. He's got a sock. I would love to
balls.
Be kit. Yeah, balls indeed, Paul.
Balls.
Thank you so much, all the listeners, for the support for my ongoing interview series with the wife of Falco's drummer. Getting a lot of mad props over that, and I really
sure.
appreciate it. Kevin and Bean haven't given me nearly as much support, but I don't do the show for them. I do it for you, kids. And so with that in mind, I bring you the shocking conclusion to my three-part series, an interview with the wife of Falco's drummer, Thomas Lang, who is a legendary drummer and producer. Lives here
now,
in Los Angeles now.
He's, if it's shocking, Ralph, because we find out Falco dies, I have bad news for you. We already knew that.
Wait till you hear. Now, I've known a little bit about Falco's life, and in this movie, they got a new movie about his life that came out this week in
Europe. We're not going to be able to see
in
forever.
Europe. It came out. It'll be here soon.
All right.
You just wait.
Nope.
And if you look at the trailer, you can see that his life was just one of complete debauchery and decadence. And so Elizabeth Lang, who is the wife of Thomas Lang, I figured would know something about that, because her husband was a longtime drummer for Falco. And so I asked her about that.
From what I've seen in the trailer, it looks like there's a lot of sex, drugs, and rock and roll in Falco's life story. Was that the case, as far as you know?
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, my husband has some stories, you know, that he lived life to the absolute fullest. But, he would occasionally die from too many drugs, and they would have a doctor around who would filtrate all his blood and kind of get him back going again.
He would occasionally die. That's bad. That's something you don't want to do once in a while. Well, please tell Thomas when he gets back into the States that we'd love to talk to him more about the Falco legacy, and maybe we can talk about the film when it gets released here in the States.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll give him a ring and tell him to get over to the swag booth and bring you back something, and I'll pop that in the mail for you.
Oh, that'd be the best ever. I want a Falco t-shirt so badly. Elizabeth, thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome.
I'll talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now, 60 minutes of your life you'll never get back.
He would occasionally die, Ralph?
He would die once in a while from drug use.
Do you want
a partier?
Do you want to die? Would travel with him and filter his blood and put it back in his body and revive him.
You know, Keith Richards is a pussy now.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow. He would die.
Falco drinks his milkshake.
He does.
He drinks
does.
It up.
You're right.
So when Thomas gets back in the States, I'm going to sit down with him, and we're going to do another series of interviews.
You do not speak for us.
Where I talk about Falco and his legacy, because Thomas Lang was there when it happened.
Put that on your podcast.
No, I'm going to bring it in, and you're going to love it, because it's fascinating.
Podcast.
Because it's Falco.
Blog.
Falcomania.
Blog it.
Ralph, before you get to the celebrity birthdays, we have the singles party, as you know, coming up on Thursday night, 1 week from tonight for Valentine's Day. It's On the Rocks singles party, that cool club that's on top of the Roxy. And we are going to be looking for guys next hour. That's Psycho Mike's choice. Guys next hour, 1-800-520-1067. If you are 21 and up. And guys, are we doing it the same way? We're looking for bad breakup stories, guys who've been wrongly broken up with by chicks, right?
In a funny And not looking back on it, it's funny because it was so bad. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
21 or above, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after the top of the hour.
Especially if you walked in on your girlfriend banging your dad.
Funny.
Oh, I want to hear that story.
That's funny. What we're talking about.
Yeah,
exactly.
That'd be cool.
No one.
You know, for it to happen to someone else.
To hear about, right.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Miguel Ferrer. You know him as the boss on The Bionic Woman. He is 53 years old today. James Spader from Boston Legal turns 48. Chris Rock is 43. Ashton Kutcher. From That 70s Show and Punked and Beauty and the Geek from The Daring Mind.
Sure.
Ashton Kutcher gave us that. And I forgot to mention this, and I want to make it up to Dave, but Tina Majorino, who plays Mac on Veronica Mars.
Oh, sure.
She celebrates her 23rd birthday today, so I'm going to give her her props. So Dave will stop.
King of Mexico.
Kicking my ass. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
EB emails us that the 311 song we're playing right now is pretty gay. All right, we're done taking calls on that. Thank you. It's 9:08. 1 week from tonight is Valentine's Day, or for our African-American listeners, Valentine's Day. It's going to be next Thursday night. We're doing a Kevin and Bean singles party, and this is going to be awesome, too. It's going to be at On the Rocks on Sunset in Hollywood, which is a private, cool, exclusive club. You've probably been to the Roxy a million times. Didn't even know that club was up there.
Because you're not enough.
You're not cool enough. You can go to the RoxyOnSunset.com. DJ Omar Khan is going to be there, a no-host bar with drink specials. Of course, all the Kevin and Bean singles party fun. We're looking for guys right now, 1-800-520-1067. If you want to be with us, it's Love on the Rocks next Thursday night.
Love on the Rocks with Kevin and Bean. One guy is stupid.
What?
The other's just mean.
Oh, come on.
If you're down on your luck, then join us and someone new.
That's good advice.
All right, what are we looking for in the young man on hold right now, Kevin?
Well, we are looking for bad breakups, but the key here is that you tell us about your breakup, but we need to decide. We're not looking for desperate. We're not looking for she made the right call and dumped your ass either. We're looking for people who have a good personality, they seem outgoing, they seem cool, and we would like all of those people to be at the party so it's easier to meet people. We're not looking for desperate, we're not looking for sad.
Okay.
Single, 21 and up, you can make it next Thursday night. Lisa, you're going to be key here in helping us decide what's going on with these guys because you've got the guide art.
All right.
Chris in Upland, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa Mike.
Hi, Chris.
Bad breakup, hey. What do you got?
Well, long story short, pretty much a couple years back, my girlfriend went to the military, and she ended up telling me after a while, like, we just spent too much time apart, but I really found out from her friends that it was a guy, pretty much same name as me, and he liked to do the same things I did, but he was black.
Oh, so she upgraded.
So, you know, he had a little something-something going on.
Right.
He just had more than you.
Oh, man, I don't know.
It was good, right? It was funny.
It's funny, but it made me mad.
Dude, you can't can you blame a woman for upgrading if she gets all the good stuff about you plus the little extra something Lisa's talking about? No one can blame her for that, man. You just have to accept that you lose.
And he was there and you weren't.
Oh, okay. So, hey, we don't know what's going on for sure, man.
We do.
He's in denial.
He is. I'm sorry. You're not past it yet, man. We got to move on. Thank you. 1-800-520-1067. Next up is Dave in Redlands. A lot of the 909 stories are always great when we start getting into them because usually somehow meth's involved. Hey, Dave, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Kevin, Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, David.
Bad breakups.
Okay, short story. I was dating this girl for about a year and a half, and I work and go to school all the time, and so, you know, I was never at home, and my girlfriend was always out late at night. She said she was partying with friends or she had to work late, and one night I was at home, and my phone rings. And I pick it up, and I can hear. And I pick it up, and I can hear my girlfriend and another guy talking. And the next thing I know, I can hear them getting it on. My girlfriend was in the car with another guy, and she rolled over on the phone, and it called me.
And it dialed you?
Oh, right in the middle of a deed.
I totally buy
awesome.
That. Look, Bean calls us by accident all the time.
Yeah,
true. He's feeding pigs.
No, next morning I told her it was over.
Euphemism.
That's hilarious.
You broke up with her just for that?
Oh, yeah.
A woman can't step out on you with one dude without you breaking up with her?
And call you and let you listen to it?
Well, hey, if it would have been a girl, it would have been a different story.
Yeah, well.
Sure, I understand.
I was no on David until he said if it would have been a girl, it was a different story. Now I'm in.
I like David.
I think, David, we will see you in another single dude friend next Thursday night at On the Rocks. Thank you for calling.
All right, let's go to Tyler, who is calling from Los Angeles. Good morning. Oops, sorry, I got the wrong line there. Hang on one second. Tyler has one that scares everybody that it could possibly happen. Tyler, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What up, Kevin? What up, Bean? Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Tyler.
What happened?
Hey, I had God break up my relationship.
God did it.
Yeah. Dating a girl for 6 months, going super well, everything's good. One day she pulls me over and is like, we got to have a talk. I've been praying about a relationship, and I don't think God wants us to be together.
Uh-oh.
Wow. People will find anything to blame it on because they feel bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, it's not me. I would be perfectly happy with you, but God says no.
It's God.
Who am I to argue?
There's nothing, you know, nothing sadder than that. My girlfriend, Minka Kelly, on Friday Night Lights, her character's all God now, and she's the hottest chick on TV, and no one is tapping that. And I'm telling you, it's just a national tragedy. It's just a heartbreak. I can really sympathize with what you're going through because of my TV relationships.
Yeah, except for that's TV and Tyler had it in real life.
Well, I'm never going to have that problem in real life, but I feel bad for Tyler, and I would vote to let him come to the party to make that bad memory go away.
Fantastic. Yeah. You're in. Thank you, man. Hold on.
See you at the party.
All right. Let's go to Gord. Name is Gord.
Okay. Right there, I feel bad for him.
Gord from Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi.
Bad breakups. How did it happen?
Well, I was in the middle of a big air snowboard contest with about 5,000 spectators and my favorite band, Pennywise, at the time playing. And
nice.
I was on my way down, just about to hit the jump, and saw my girlfriend with another guy.
Wait a minute. While you were snowboarding and you're just about to hit a jump, you looked over in the crowd and could see clearly enough that she was making out with another guy?
Not on the crowd. She was on the top with the organizers. And so it messed me up bad enough that I ended up landing on my head and I knocked myself out and broke my helmet and had to go to the hospital.
So she was behind you at the top of the hill making out?
She was pretty much about 10 feet away from me as I went by.
It's not the Zapruder film, Kevin. We don't really need a printout of
it doesn't
where
add up.
Everything
that's all.
Was. But he's basically saying he's at a snowboarding event and he sees his girl with another guy. I mean, I think that's the gist of his story. Not how far apart
that.
They were at the time.
No, but I'm saying how did he see her? It just doesn't add up.
Not only does it smell fishy, he's Canadian. I say no.
He is definitely Canadian. That concerns me as well. I don't know that we need them coming and taking our women.
Yeah, you did say boat.
So you're out. All right, so Canadians, no such luck.
Sorry. Okay.
What about Jason in Anaheim? This is a weird relationship ender. Jason, good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about the singles party next Thursday night. What do you got for us? Bad breakups.
Morning, party people. How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
All right. Well, I was dating a girl for about a year and a half, and last year on birthday, decided to end it.
Year on your birthday?
Yes, sir.
She said, I want to break up on your birthday.
Yes.
What happened?
Correct.
Why?
Just because, you know, she was in the... She was a school teacher. And
that answers all of our questions.
Yeah.
How is that relevant?
What was going on, and why did she choose your birthday to break up with you?
I'm not sure. I think it's just because she was just tired of me. You know, I'd go out with guys, we'd go have a session, you know, smoke sesh, and then it wasn't too, you know, frown on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not bringing it to life. I must be honest with you, Jason.
Yeah.
I want to break up with you right now.
No.
Thanks for the call.
I didn't even know where it was going. Exactly.
Let's go to Abdullah.
Yeah.
Okay. From Van Nuys. Good morning, Abdullah.
Good morning, Kevin Bean.
What happened?
Hi.
I was with this girl for about 4 years. We got married the last year, and then one day I came home from work a little bit early and caught her red-handed with somebody else.
No way!
How many times have we told you, if you get off work early, drive around, see a movie, you don't want to know what's going on, do not go home early?
Well, yeah, that was the story. So.
Did you know the guy?
No, I did not. It was somebody from her new job.
But it was in your bed?
But it was in my bed, yeah.
So. Nice. How long had it been going on?
I guess about a month or so.
A month? Now, here's what I want to ask you, because every once in a while we talk to people who have been through this situation. Your first reaction when you see that, when you walk in on that, is to do what? Is it to leave? Is it to beat the crap out of the guy? Is it to scream at your wife? What did you do first?
Work on the wobbly H?
I left.
You left.
Yeah, I left. Mm. I couldn't take it. It was kind of emotional for me. So.
Sure.
Did they see you? Did they know you were there?
No, they did not. And I went next door to my neighbor's house, and they left after that. She saw my motorcycle, so she knew that I was there.
You should have called dibs.
I got next.
You still sound a little broken up about it, dude. Are you in a position where you're ready to start dating again?
Oh, definitely, yeah. This was 3 years ago. I've definitely moved on.
Oh, okay.
All right,
okay.
I think I like Abdullah.
Sure.
Okay, all right, Abdullah. We'll see you Thursday night. Bring another guy, all right?
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
I don't think we have time for Robert.
Yes.
All right, we have time for Robert.
Yay!
Robert, 24, Tustin. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
You're in. Congratulations.
No, we got to hear the story.
I know we do.
Tell us your story, Robert. Bad breakup.
We woke up in the afternoon with my girlfriend, and so I decided to take her to lunch. So I take her to lunch before I head to work. So after we have lunch, you know, I decide to leave from there to go to work, and I realize I forgot my work badge. So I'm already on the ferry. I got to turn all the way back around, and I get home. And when I get home, the door is locked. It's never really locked.
Right.
So I get in there. I go upstairs to get my badge. First thing I see is my girlfriend in bed with the guy next door who, well, not to be rude, but is Down syndrome.
Yes!
What?
Oh, no.
Wow. And how painful was it for you to see that same guy win the Super Bowl on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I was confused.
Yeah, why? What's the...
You were confused. He was confused.
Well, her thing was she wanted to try something different.
Really?
You know, it's completely different, so...
Dude, yeah. You got cheated on with a guy with Down syndrome. That's the best. You were a prize.
Did he have tard strength in bed?
Maybe that was the draw.
That's what it was.
I wasn't going to try anything of them because you know how they get their superhuman strength or whatever.
Yeah. That's what I know.
Yeah. He humped with the thunder.
Oh, Robert's got to be there.
He could spin her, man, without even trying. That's awesome.
I was like, you know, I got no competition there.
Right. What are you going to do, man? You just walk away and go, I lose.
That's fantastic.
People are like, how could you, you know, kick a person? You know.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't do that. You just gotta send it back to Whidbey High and let it drop. Right, that's fantastic.
You just lose. But I think I like to let Robert in.
Oh, yeah, because we want to hear more. We want to hear more details Thursday night. Okay.
Oh, definitely.
Thank you, Robert. Right. We'll take a few calls off the air too. Dave, the King of Mexico, will continue then.
We're sorry, you must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What about those lawsuits?
Huh?
Would have been great if Larry King had asked that of Snoop when he was on the show.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
He did say crack-a-lackin'. He did say that.
Yeah. Pretty good. Guys, what about your Los Angeles Kings? What about them?
Woo!
Woo!
Dude, it's not the best season to be a King fan, but it's still fun.
And it's still great. Yeah, it's still great to go see the games. Kings versus Flames next Friday night, 1 week from tomorrow night, is K-Rock Kings tailgate party. And Stryker's going to be there with his tail. Also, Kings great Marty McSorley is going to be there. Drinks and food and lots of fun. And you get tickets to that if you call us right now for Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067 on any topic.
All right, let's begin with Jake in Chino. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning.
What it do?
Why is Kevin Federline getting his own clothing line?
K-Fed is getting his own clothing line?
Because he's a trendsetter. Yeah. He's a trendsetter and a fashion plate.
No, he's a douchebag and shouldn't even be around.
Oh, that's right. That's what I meant to say.
There is that, yeah.
Is this something he's pouring a lot of his own money? I mean, Britney's own money in? Or is somebody actually hiring him to represent a line because they think people care what he wears and does?
Who knows? Who cares? All I know is... why would we want to buy it, period?
Look, this is the magic of current modern-day America, is that there's no such thing as bad fame. All fame is good. Fame leads to success and money, regardless of how you get it.
Now, Jake, is this a new clothing line? Because he was originally, remember, guys, he was the spokesperson for Blue Marlin a while back, and then he actually had some hand.
Sure, who can forget that?
Well, no, because we went to his clothing opening, and it was bad, and it was horrible, and he had some hand in designing it and stuff. But then they dropped him, like, a couple months later. Is this, like, a new clothing line that he's just starting up?
Brand new.
Okay. Brand new.
Well, you look at his success as a rapper, and you say, that guy's on the fast track to stardom.
What if they call it the Federline of clothing?
Wow. Huh?
How does he do it? How does he do it? Let's go down to line five. This is interesting. Rick is calling us from North Hills on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rick, what it do, nephew?
Rick? What it do?
What it do?
Toxicology report for Heath Ledger came out, and it said like he has five different kinds of sleeping pills in him, and they called it an accident. An accident is taking too much alcohol with your oxycodone, not taking five different sleeping pills and all these other antidepressants. Why not just call it a suicide? That's what it was.
Easy, word of God.
Wow. I don't think they can conclude that it was intentional. I think there's a lot of room for doubt as to whether or not he – I mean, I think many of us suspect that he was just taking stuff because he was having trouble sleeping and wasn't thinking clearly about the effects the drugs would have with one another, not that he was trying to end his life.
Yeah, he didn't take a bottle of pills.
That's what the authorities were saying. If you want to commit suicide, you take a whole bunch of one pill versus just a few of five different pills.
Rick, right. How can you have this much anger over this topic?
I'm just tired of everybody crying about it. I mean – let me look at all the pills this guy takes. There's warning labels on it. Don't mix your meds. And he does it. And he dies.
And
everybody cries.
He paid the price, though. I mean, he can't be any deader than he is.
He didn't die enough, for my taste.
What do you want people to do?
Well, she should have burst into flames. Killed his family.
Thanks for the call.
I don't know what he wants from Heath, but there's not too much more Heath can give you.
I drink his milkshake. I drink it up.
Let's go to Sky in Silver Lake. Good morning, Sky.
Hey, what's up, nephews and baby boo?
What's
up?
Well, I live in Silver Lake, and I usually frequent the bar that's close to Dodger Stadium.
Is that what's it called, the shortstop?
Yeah, the shortstop, yeah. Kristen's been there a whole bunch of times. I've seen her there a bunch.
Kristen Dunst?
And I've seen her throwing up on the side of the
sweet
the bar there.
That's so sexy.
You know what? She actually becomes sexy after a couple shots and a couple beers.
That's after you've had a couple shots and beers, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, yeah, let me ask you this. Ralph is always making fun of, and I think the rest of us are kind of piling on too, about how unattractive she is because she does not photograph or film well. She does look bitch ugly on TV and in the movies. What about in real life?
You know, it's a pretty dark bar.
So not bad?
And I usually have a couple drinks to go in to save some cash. So
I gotcha.
I can't agree with you right there because, you know, go in and my beer goggles are working pretty
strong. So you'd hit it, in other words, right?
Oh, there's a lot of things I've hit, and she's definitely one of them.
Wow.
Okay.
Especially when she's throwing up. That's hot.
That is nothing sexier.
Very sexy.
More of a turn-on. You get to hold a girl's hair back.
All right. I think we're out of time with that. I want to thank our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television tonight at 6:30 on Channel 11. They've really been they minute by minute they cover this Britney thing. It's unbelievable the stuff they get.
Yep.
Also, thanks to our friend Bobcat Goldthwait for stopping by. He is back on stage. And some of his jokes were written in the early 90s. So he has updated the act for you. You can see him at the Brea Improv. That's at 120 South Brea Boulevard in downtown Brea. Call 714-482-0700 or improv.com tonight through Sunday for Bob Scratch Goldfarb.
There's some kind of misprint because tomorrow's show looks bigger than usual. And I can't believe that that's true. Movie Beat is tomorrow. It's Friday.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We got Vince Vaughn.
What?
Ooh.
Yep. Actor Vince
Fantastic.
Vaughn. Funny.
Have you seen that one yet, Ralph? The Wild West Comedy Show?
Fred Claus?
No,
yes, I've seen that.
Vince Vaughn's Wild West Comedy Show.
No, I have not seen that, sir.
Okay. Talk to him tomorrow. Plus, we have the grand prize drawing. K-Rock's World Tour 2008, destination number 5, is Muse in South Africa.
Wow.
And we have... You say Muse?
Yes.
Okay. And we have tickets to the Grammys in the 7 o'clock hour, like we have all week. And more tickets to Kevin and Bean's Love on the Rock singles party. No.
Yeah.
No.
Bring it. Yeah. Bring it, bitch.
No time for this.
Show.
Gotta go.
Plenty of
Cat's
time.
Next.
Plenty of time.
Bring
Plenty
it.
Of time.
Chinese New Year, Chinese New Year, Chinese New Year. Asian things are gonna happen.
Come on.
I eat doggies. Chinese New Year outside my window. Behind the tree. I wish the Chinese could see that their resolution should be to drive safely, and it's Chinese New Year. Hey. Outside my window plane.
Hey. 我和你练习.
Don't trust the yellow man.
见到你很高兴.
Gross.
早晨好.
Bruce Lee.
希望下.
I'm Asian, bitch. Fortune cookies.
我觉得.
Rice.
今后.
Hey.
Chinese New Year. Outside my window. Chinese New Year behind the tree.
For our Chinese
look pissed.
For our Chinese listeners, Kung, how's it go? Gung Hai Fat Choi, I think is what they say for Happy New Year. It is the start of the Year of the Rat today, year 4,706. So thanks to DJ Omar Khan.
Are they
for
out
that.
Of animals? They're already down to the rat?
The rat's the first one?
Wow.
That's the first one on their zodiac, yeah. Cat Corbett is coming up next. Chinese New Year celebration continues here on the world famous Kirloch with the popular Asian bands K-Rock. Like Metallica. Also, Foo Fighters, White Stripes, STP, and more right after this on K-Rock.